Are we live?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. There's... Andy gave me the look he sometimes gives me when it means we're live and no one noticed.
Oh, I cannot find pants. Mm-hmm.
That's just a general Brian situation.
Well, I mean, I'm running around with a meat cleaver and a coat, but no pants, and zombies are chasing me.
Yeah.
He's live in the apocalypse. Live,
yeah. Yes. Well, that's your normal day of life, is running around with a meat cleaver and no pants. Yeah.
Jordan really enjoys it.
That's why they're roommates.
I assume that was out of the house. Oh. Like Jordan needs alone time, so Brian leaves the house with his meat cleaver and no pants.
And male pants.
Both in and out of the house.
Sure.
He's yeah. not, you know.
I can't catch a deer. It's too fast. This is not running me. I need shoes.
You don't... Shoes, pants, or maybe a gun. A gun helps with hunting deer.
Well, here's the thing. I've never actually seen Brian run. So
he could be super fast.
He could be. Like, I don't know.
Not as fast as a deer, though.
You don't know that.
He just said he wasn't as fast as a deer.
I mean, African tribesmen run down deer.
And they're not as fast as a deer.
Yeah.
So maybe they're not as fast, but they can catch them. So maybe he is as fast, but he can't catch one.
Okay, that's fair. Brian?
That's true. Okay. Everything they just said is true.
All right. Good to know. I'm going to take a nap now.
The science behind persistence hunting is insane.
Yes.
Like, it's just everything about this working.
Everything about the human body is just bizarre.
So, I have a question about that, because Jeremy couldn't tell me, and I'm too lazy to Google. Is it four guys that chase one deer?
One guy. Well, one guy chases a deer while his three buddies that help him carry it back follow.
Okay.
It's just one guy chases a deer. They don't do shifts. It's just that... the frequency at which we breathe and the frequency at which our heartbeat and, like, the fact that we have front-facing nostrils, like, we can run consistently forever.
Yeah.
Whereas a deer can run in short bursts really fast, but he can't do it forever.
Yeah.
And eventually, like, they don't even have to. They have a bow and arrow, but that's just, like, a formality. They can just walk up and slit its throat. It literally just lays down there
and it's just like, I'm done now.
It can't even stand up.
Wild Arias are like that. They can go for about 20 minutes and then they're done.
Yeah, our puppy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess she's not really a puppy anymore, but yeah, she's like that.
Yep.
She runs really fast for those 20 minutes, though.
Right, and then she just lays down. She's just done.
And that's just a matter of the head start, right? Like, this thing is, like, if she runs a mile in 20 minutes and then needs 10 minutes to rest, if you can walk that mile in 29 minutes, you can catch her.
I can catch her. Right. Yep.
And that's how the deer work.
Yeah,
that's a really slow mile, by the way.
It was just
an example, Katie.
It was easy math. Damn also, it. Are you sure you can walk a mile in 29 minutes? I don't want to be... Yeah, that's true. A leisurely pace, not leisurely, but a brisk morning stroll is about 3 miles an hour.
Yeah, so. three and a half, yeah.
Something like best 5K was 18:15.
Yeah, but you were like a freaking track and field star back in your day.
Yeah.
Yeah, much better in shape than any of us are now today.
Well, I'm not in shape now.
None of us are. That's what I'm saying. The five of us sitting around this table, none of us are what I would call peak physical specimens.
It is... grotesquely telling that I might be in the best physical shape of the five of us.
You might be.
That is grotesque.
I can walk for a long time.
Can you?
Yeah.
We're going to find out
like
here.
Like a month ago, I just wasn't feeling social, and so I just walked around Madison, and so it's just 14 hours. I just walked.
Really?
Yeah. Like, it's on my MyFitnessPal. I burned, like, several thousand calories.
I just walked.
I walked all the way to your guys' house. Then I walked all the way up to University in Middleton. Then all the way east and came down Stoughton. Like, I just walked around the entire city just because I didn't want to be with anybody.
You know, some people just do that in their house.
Well, I don't have 13 hours of walking space in my house.
Well, you don't have to walk.
She means on a treadmill or something.
Oh, no. Well, it depends if other people are in your house.
Or around the block.
I guess so. Yeah.
That's still impressive.
I just picked a direction and walked, and then I got down to McKee, and I turned on McKee, and then I got, like, you know, down by you guys, and I'm like, I'll just keep going. Had an errand to do in Middleton, so I just decided to walk to Middleton once. I was at your place. I had no destination, and I was around there when I was like, you know what, I might as well walk to Middleton. So then I walked up to Middleton because I had to pick something up at a store.
I would agree you are probably in the best shape of the five of us at this table in that case.
Yeah, I was in dress shoes, too.
What?
I couldn't find my sneakers, and so, yeah.
Did you have blisters?
Do not mix crazy and in shape.
It's a bad combination.
Yeah.
Did you have blisters when you got home? Like, dress shoes are not comfortable.
They weren't full-on, like, tuxedo dress shoes. They were black shoes. Like, you know, they had soft soles.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, so it wasn't, like, kill-yourself dress shoes. But
still, that's a long ways to walk in dress shoes.
I tried once to play basketball in dress shoes.
Yeah?
On a tennis court. It was a basketball hoop that was on a tennis court, and I was playing with dress shoes.
That seems like a great way to fall down.
Yeah, it was awesome. I had like from like my ankle all the way up to my top thigh, I had like a road rash from when I took a big header all the way down my entire left leg.
That does not sound pleasant.
My calves were unhappy the next day with me. That
well,
was
yeah.
my big issue.
My pants were unhappy with me when I tried to take them off because they were stuck to my leg.
Oh, gross. Gross. Welcome to Crippled System, episode 201, I think.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's how we do it, apparently, on the Crippled System.
I did the math. Like, we haven't done, like, are we, what about year-wise? When did we start? Do you remember the date of the first broadcast?
It was November 19th.
Of?
It was 4 years ago. Basically, we celebrated for 4 years.
November 2013.
So this November will be our fifth.
Technically, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So November 2012?
And technically, we have more than 201 episodes. There's a couple .5s in there, and there's...
Really?
Special episodes, yeah.
And then there's episode 10, which was our best episode ever.
It is our best.
That was the best episode.
You guys
ever.
Should all go check it out right now.
Go check it out.
Amazing.
We can't ever top that.
It's the first time we ever got a commendation from Apple.
Yeah, it's true.
It might unironically be our best episode.
That's crazy to think about. That's a long time podcasting. I told somebody the other day, just offhand, that I was. Somebody asked me like if I wanted to do something like Sunday evening a few weeks ago, and I was like, "Oh no, I'm going to go do my podcast." And they were like, "Oh, har har, like you do a podcast." I was like, "No, like we have like thousands of listeners and been doing it for years.
We're down to dozens, but we still have.
I mean, we may not have thousands anymore, but there was a time when we would get multiple thousands of downloads.
Well, each one of our episodes
was
still gets
each person downloading it 1,000 times.
Yes. Might have been. It might have been.
Trying to do the Muse method of increasing the numbers.
Mike, we have a question for you after the podcast is over.
Okay.
Because I tried to ask it last episode, but you, whatever. The point is, it's apparently a question that you don't want on air.
That's
fair. All five of us need to remember to remind me.
Okay.
Well, I'm not going to ask it on air.
You could start it.
No, I know what the question is.
Because last week a topic came up and you're like, we'll talk about that off air.
Yeah, we just forgot. We never talked about it. Yeah, I know what he's talking about.
So
I don't remember.
Doesn't matter.
There's a lot of things I don't want to talk about on air.
That's fair. So anyway, it's still crazy to think about, though. Like a lot of people, when they think, like, when I tell them I've done a podcast, they're like, "Oh, you know, you in your garage, and you had three people download it, and all three are related to you by blood." It's like, no, like we have like a legit, like people for some reason actually listen to this podcast.
To be fair, we're all related to each other by blood.
Well, yeah, that's
packed blood. It's not mom and dad blood.
No, I meant like if you go back far.
If you
enough.
Go back far,
like
enough.
Literally everybody in Europe is descended from Charlemagne. That kind
Mine
of thing.
Was funnier.
Fair.
Nathan,
I'm sorry.
We're like blood sisters, you and me.
Yeah, don't all you remember
sisters.
That?
You guys are
yeah.
sisters. Okay.
You don't remember
I'm
that?
I'm okay
pact?
With that.
Huh?
You don't remember that pact, Nathan?
Yeah, blood pact.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
He may or may not have been sober.
That was part
when it
of the 10th episode. That was in the basement over at the old place.
It's not a garage. It was a basement.
It was a bit. When we started, it was legitimately in a basement.
We did start in a basement. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I saw a movie with Brian where somebody tried to do like the blood brother pact thing with a vampire, and it went very badly.
Was that the one that you guys watched?
Well, yeah, I just said it was one that we
watched.
Well,
I mean the one that you just watched in the theater.
No, the one a few years ago. The Let Me In, or the Let the Right One In, which was with the American. The American was Let Me In, I think, yeah. So, like, the you know, the, what are they, like 12? The boy decides he wants to do the blood thumb slit best friend thing with his new best friend, not knowing his new best friend's a vampire, and she flips the fuck out.
Well, yeah.
Because he's like, here, this looks delicious.
Yeah.
Oh.
That was a great story.
It is a great story. You're a great story. Shut your face.
It's a great movie.
It's a great movie.
If I'm a great story, then why would I?
I heard you guys went and saw a great movie this weekend that I was really glad I missed.
We should introduce everyone here because we've gone on for...
If you don't know who we are by now, fuck you.
10 minutes.
According to Jeremy, we've got thousands of listeners.
We did at one point.
Big hell, our meta.
Thousands.
I don't know that we ever hit tens of thousands.
Tens of tens.
Definitely tens of tens.
We have not hit five digits.
I thought we had over 1,000 downloads.
No, five digits.
Oh, five digits. Yeah, yeah, right.
Depending on what base we count in, we could easily have five digits. Like hexadecimal, or not hexadecimal.
Not hexadecimal.
Binary, we're way the fuck on. Well, maybe.
Yeah,
we're
no,
probably
we are.
Five digits in binary. You don't know.
I know binary, so I should. Anyway, I'm Jeremy.
I'm Katie.
I'm Nathan.
I'm Andy.
The groan was Brian.
Our powers combined were Captain Planet.
Yeah, pretty much.
Oh, who's Hart?
Nobody wants to be Hart.
Let's figure this out.
No one ever wants to be Hart.
No, we have to figure this out here.
Okay, well, we know I'm not Hart.
That's true.
Yeah. So. Katie! Wait, what's your favorite thing about pets?
Not my favorite thing.
What's the best thing about pets?
The best thing.
You tell me one great thing about pets.
They die.
Yeah, this is a statement Katie apparently made.
This isn't sarcasm.
I was talking to
the greatest thing about pets?
Yeah. Not the greatest thing.
But it's a good thing. It's one of the great things.
You call it a great thing.
She called it, she when she redacted and told me the story, she said one of the greatest things about pets.
Yeah, she's not saying it's not a great thing. She's just saying it's not the only great thing about pets.
Yeah, there's lots of great things about pets.
But one of the great things about cat pets is that they die.
Here's the thing. Do you know why parrots are awful and we can all agree on that. They live for 80 years. Like, you know how many animals that were old would end up in the pound if dogs lived for 40 or 50 years?
I mean, she's got a point. People don't want their kids around for more than 18 years.
Sure, but you don't say the greatest thing about kids is that they die.
No, the greatest thing is that they leave the house.
Is that they leave the house.
If my dog would leave the house and become independent and visit occasionally after 18 years, that would be great.
That's not possible. I can't even
imagine. They go to a farm up the road. And yeah. They can run and chase chickens.
Nobody's going to commit to owning and taking care of an animal for that long a period. Some people
except every parrot owner ever.
Well, yeah, but parrot owners are crazy. So I think we can all agree on that.
And what ended up happening to our friend's parrot? They sold it because parrots are awful and they live for forever. So you couldn't be like, well, I just have to wait till it dies.
Yeah, that's just not an option with a parrot. So unless you invite Jim over and just be like, don't tell me what happened.
Can you imagine she's in the pound? She's like, which of these dogs will die the best? Which is your best lie down and die dog? I'll take four of them.
She's like, I want a dog that's going to die in 6 to 8 months. Can you make that happen?
That's why I get big dogs. They die sooner.
That is actually factually true.
At least you're doing a service. You are adopting the elderly dogs.
Yeah. But
they need love too for their last remaining
Nobody's committing month. to that long of an animal. They're just not. They're just going to
That's why
I
shoot like that one movie where the dogs keep dying over and over again.
Yes. Dog's Purpose.
Dog's Purpose. Like 10 stars, 10 dogs die.
Riot.
Yeah. Because everyone considers that movie a laugh riot.
I'm not saying it's not sad.
But every 10 minutes, a dog dies. It's great.
It's great.
Katie's just laughing up a storm in the theater.
This is so great.
Everyone else is crying.
Katie's clapping.
She treats it the way you treat the Final Destination movies. That was a good one.
That was amazing.
That dog got hit by a bus and the kid's watching it bleed out. Good times.
Yes, I think we can all agree you're not heart, Katie.
I'm just saying, things need to die at some point. It needs to happen. I'll be sad when it happens.
On a brighter side, Non-Euclidean Nick and Arctic Circle brought up the thing I was going to bring up, which is that there was one episode of Captain Planet where they let the heart kid use his power, and he straight up can mind control people, and it's freaky as shit.
Really?
Yeah, he's just like, heart, do my bidding, and they become just mindless slaves to him.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, they lurk.
I missed that one.
I'll take the role,
Yeah, because it's like part of he what they truly want inside of him, he just tells them. He's Kilgrave.
Yeah.
He's fucking Kilgrave on the Planeteers.
Huh.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's creepy shit.
Well, every episode except that one, he just stands there and looks silly.
Yep.
He has a monkey, though.
He does have a monkey. That's true.
So. Someday it'll die.
That'll be
the
great.
Best thing about that monkey.
Okay, you guys, I'm
Do you
not
watch,
wrong.
Like, old episodes of Full House? You're like, that dog's dead by now. Awesome.
Old Yowler is her favorite movie. Top 10 movie.
No, Where the Red Fern Grows. You gotta have two dogs dying. Yeah. Just one is not enough.
Now, wait. So, plague dogs, two dogs die, but they weren't pets to begin with. They were lab animals that escaped to try to live a happy life, and then they die horrifically. Is that a laugh riot, too? Or do they have to be pets first? All right, so...
She's laughing too hard thinking about it.
So, lab dogs dying of the plague is still funny.
It's also funny.
Okay, good call.
I'm glad Katie comes to the podcast again.
I'm not wrong. Nobody's going to be like, you know what? People would just give them up to the pound when they're like 20 years old. They'd be like, I don't want to take care of this animal anymore.
Well, I mean, if a dog lived...
Like we do with our grandparents.
If a dog lived really old, it probably would be healthier longer. It wouldn't just be like, you know, it wouldn't be the same lifespan where it got old. You know, it would be a puppy longer.
It'd still be a lot of responsibility, though.
True, but
For a long time. Do you know how many people get rid of their pets when... they have a baby for the first time? So now you have a dog that instead of living for 5 more years in the pound, it's going to live for 35 more years in the pound.
Well, no,
the people could just not be shitty.
Yeah, but people aren't going to change.
People are shitty, though. I don't think that's going to change at all.
Yeah, that's a big thing that I see, like people giving up their pets because they moved into a new place.
Yeah, they move, like, they have kids, or their job changes. because like suddenly their schedule changes and they can't be around for the dog.
Well, like, I've even seen people like take their like dog to the pound to get rid of it and then leave with a younger dog.
With a younger dog, yeah. Man. Because puppies are cute, but dogs are the worst. Man. Those people, by the way, should be taken out back and shot.
Once upon a time, I argued that Miss Saigon has a happy ending because she kills herself. So I can't be completely...
So maybe you and Katie are more simpatico than you want to admit.
Well, the situation's all fucked up, and then she kills herself, and that simplifies things, and then she's not sad anymore.
You would have to have, like, dogs would have to have the breeding rate of pandas for them to be able to live that long and be pets.
Yeah, that's fair.
Depends. Can we also... just come into terms with the fact that they're delicious and use them as a food source as well?
Nope.
Most people that name their like cows then have trouble killing the cow that they raised to be food. So I don't think that would work very well.
Raylene grew up on a farm. She definitely had a pet pig that she ate one morning.
Right. So. But that's hard. That messes with people.
ate my pet bunny and I'm fine.
But you ate it raw by choice.
With eggs and struggling. Crackers.
Yeah, with eggs and crackers that were also raw.
His bunny was named Eggs and Crackers.
That's what he's talking about every single time.
Two pet bunnies, Eggs and Crackers. Just mixed them up in a bowl.
And wasn't it better that they were dead before you mixed them up?
I want to be honest. The two raw dead rabbits might not be any more disgusting than the raw eggs and crackers.
Well,
like, it might not be.
Fine.
No, he mixes the raw eggs and the crackers.
I'm just saying, one of the things is fine.
Yeah, raw crackers is okay. Yeah.
Brian offered to make
me
breakfast.
When you eat steak
once.
Tartare, it includes raw egg on top.
It does. I get that there are like exceptions, but most people don't just
eat raw eggs by the dozen.
Yeah. But obviously
every morning
every
to
morning,
help him get large.
To help him get large. And obviously it's led to mental instability.
And
he
being the size of
a
barge.
In a different way than
who?
Somebody
what?
Who
Gaston.
Eggs,
Gaston from The Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah. Oh. What mental instability? The man is a paragon of virtue and strength.
Virtue
except
is
in
not
the live
the right word.
Except in the live action movie
well,
where
sure.
they
that's
made him
the
a terrible person.
Okay, he was a terrible person in the cartoon. Though,
he rescues Belle from being imprisoned by a monster.
He also locks Belle's dad up in the insane asylum and bribes
her dad is insane.
Her dad is certifiable.
He's harmless. Even the insane guy is like, he's harmless. And he's like, no, he's not harmless. Here's gold to lock up this harmless man.
It's 1700s France. You can't be a harmless, crazy person. Like...
obviously, you can.
For the time, Gaston was not exactly villainous.
I am saying, the way Gaston acts in the original Beauty and the Beast movie, and the way Gaston is in the live-action movie, like they made him like infinitely worse.
Well, he does straight up try to murder somebody in the live-action movie.
Yeah.
He doesn't try to murder anybody in the...
Well, except the Beast.
No, even then, he fights him face-to-face.
That's true. Sorry, Katie, go ahead.
I don't think he was a dick in the movie, in the live-action movie.
No?
No, he was just like... he was very polite to Belle.
He's a really good guy right up until he tries to kill her dad.
Like, he ties a guy to a tree to leave him to be eaten
by
wolves. That's kind of dickish.
Up until that point, like, he's the only one who's like, I'll go, even if his motives weren't pure. Like, he is very nice to Belle. Like, he's the only one who takes interest in her reading.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if I tied you to a tree to be eaten by wolves, you'd probably call me a dick. Yeah. Like, you'd be like, you know, dick move.
Like,
but
I agree.
Up until that point,
yes.
Whereas in the cartoon, he's just a dick from day one. You see him, and he's being a dick.
I like to think he works for the village. Doesn't anyone else realize Belle is Emma Thompson? Why is someone else...
Roberts.
I know. As soon as I said it, I was wrong. I figured...
Roberts Thompson.
Yeah, I know. I'm a guy.
They're Robert Paulson.
Her name is Robert Paulson.
Her name is Robert
in death,
Paulson.
She has a name.
Oh, my God. In death, she has a name.
What are we talking about?
Well, you find out that Beauty and the Beast is just another subset of Fight Club.
Of Fight Club?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
So is Beast Gaston's Tyler Durden?
Yes.
Also...
that explains what Belle says. I wasn't fucked like that since grade school.
That's a Fight Club line.
Okay. Also, the Beast wasn't handsome enough.
In the live action?
In the live action.
Like when he transforms or as a Beast?
When he transforms.
As a Beast, he was okay, but yeah, as a man, he's really not nearly as attractive as he was as a Beast.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
He was hotter as a Beast?
Yeah, in the live action.
Now we know Jeremy's other fetish. He likes the Beasts. He wasn't very good looking in the animated one either. I've always thought when he transforms, I'm like, ugh, you kind of get a nose job. Frenchie.
Yeah, or something, yeah.
Yeah, they need to do some work on the Beasts.
The post-transformation Beast, specifically.
Yeah.
Oh, my
looks
gosh.
Looks are important.
They are.
That's what we learned.
That's what, that's what you learned in the live action one.
What?
At least they made him older in the live action one. In the cartoon, it's an 11-year-old who wisely doesn't open the door for a strange woman when he's home at night, and by he's punished forever for
forever
it.
For it. Well, until he, you know, until he permanently ruins the lives of everyone in his castle.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good job, Enchantress. Also, it undercuts the whole, like, looks aren't everything when the Enchantress is only pretending to be ugly and she's actually
beautiful. Yeah. Yeah,
why can't she be an ugly Enchantress?
Right. In fact, I don't see a problem with that. Yeah. Although, you notice most Enchantresses are beautiful in most, like...
I guess
otherwise
if you're...
they're a witch.
Yeah.
If they're ugly.
Yeah. See? So,
an Enchantress is beautiful and a witch is ugly.
Does an Enchantress float in water?
Burner! Build a bridge out of her?
Side note, they never say mirror, mirror on the wall. Who's the fairest of them all?
Never?
Never.
Hmm.
It's a magic mirror on the wall.
Hmm.
True story.
Interesting.
So along there with Beam Me Up, Scotty, and Play It Again, Sam. Things nobody ever said.
Things nobody ever said, but everyone thinks
that was my favorite line from Star Wars.
Yeah.
Beam Me Up, Scotty.
Yeah.
What?
Anywho.
So what else have we got for topics today? Do you guys want to talk about the movie you guys saw that was terrible? I read your Facebook post.
I didn't say it was terrible. Wasn't scary.
You did not.
Also,
Katie,
I'm proud of my analogy.
Which
when the
is
guy
fun.
Asked if it was a suspense film, I thought that was a very apt analogy.
It's a lot like Last Man on Earth, only you take away all the humor and the interesting parts.
All right, so you should probably mention what movie you saw if we're going to actually talk about it.
Yeah.
Nothing ever comes.
It comes at night.
Well, no. My title's more accurate.
Your title is more accurate.
Yeah.
No, I'm so glad I didn't see it. I was actually seriously thinking about seeing the movie.
We all might have enjoyed it. Like, my Facebook post was an actual warning. It wasn't telling people not to see it. It's saying, if you go see it, be aware it is not scary in the goddamn slightest. Like, it's pitching itself as a horror movie, and because the critics like it, because it's artsy-fartsy, all the critics are like, so scary, and it's not. It's not scary.
It has
scary.
An 87% on Rotten Tomatoes.
And if I'd gone into it knowing it wasn't scary, but is instead just, like, I like The Road. And The Road wasn't pitched as a horror film. The Road was pitched as, here's depression and misery. Here's nihilism.
Who wants
everyone's
to watch a movie
die.
That the movie's about depression and nihilism and nothing?
As long as you know that going into it, you can appreciate the story.
My bigger problem with the movie, and I agree, if it would have been, problem one, it was promoted as a horror movie and it's not. And it is hard to promote a movie like The Road or promote a movie like this. I also don't like the fact that there's a lot of ambiguousness in the movie late in the movie on purpose. It's there to make you wonder what did happen. And
no, I think it's pretty clear what happened because every time that the kid has a nightmare, which is what causes a lot of the ambiguity, he wakes up in his bed.
Yeah.
So he didn't wake up, like, to think that he was sleepwalking and did it and not the kid would mean that he broke pattern with every other instance we saw him before.
But did he wake up in bed before seeing the kid and then go see the kid? So he could have done the thing, woken up in bed, and then seen the kid. So that's a third possible version. You see what I mean? Spoilers.
They never had any indication that he was
a sleepwalker. He was just a nightmare haver.
Yeah.
Sure. And so,
to me, it seems more straightforward like that, but they make, even the producers of the movie and the directors make a big deal of how you're supposed to figure it out yourself. And they made it unnecessarily that way to make some people believe that. It didn't have to go that extra mile in that regards. It could have just gone down the road it was going, and they didn't need to add this extra layer of what actually happened to cause the chaos, the ridiculousness that happened.
Sure.
Right. It felt unnecessary. It was a necessary trigger to have things happen. It could have happened naturally.
It just shoehorned ambiguity. Like, they could have shown Alexander's eyes and had Alexander, you know,
correct,
be whatever, and then still had everything else the same.
Yeah, and no one who did the DI. It was unnecessary. I don't like unnecessary stuff like that. It really bugs me.
That's fair.
Because I think they were trying to show, like, what happens when, like, paranoia and everything happens to people or, like, in extreme events, and I don't even think that it did a good job of that.
Raylene and I talked about it a lot, and she said she didn't feel the paranoia, but the thing is, like, it's there was not a scene in the movie, even during Happy Montage, that I would not have been surprised if Paul had just shot people in their face. Like, the whole movie, even when they're all like, la, 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 we're a happy family, if he just whipped out a gun and just murdered half the cast, I would have been like, yeah, I could see that.
Right. But I don't think he ever acted unreasonably, either.
Correct. But he also wasn't acting reasonably. You know what I mean? There's an you can see the point of view, but you can also just be frustrated and say, trust is so fragile. And it's never unreasonable to not trust people. Even people you've known your entire life, there's danger to trust. So it's always reasonable to keep people in an arm's distance. But it's the prisoner's dilemma, right? Where it's actually better to trust if everybody doesn't.
If everybody trusts, it's better for everybody. But if one person doesn't trust, right. You don't want to be the person trusting.
This whole movie is just the prisoner's dilemma, the movie.
That sounds terrible. I mean, for me.
Sure, and that's fine.
It doesn't sound
enjoyable.
But
you're also going in because it's called It Comes at Night, and the way they board up the house, you think there's things out there. And it's really, it comes at night. And what's coming at night is the guy's having some nightmares.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that happens at night, and there's actually nothing.
Also, the nightmares are completely irrelevant.
Correct.
Yeah. Especially if, because like Katie said, like there's a big, something happens and you don't know who caused it to happen.
Yeah.
And one of the possible explanations, one of two people sleptwalked and did it.
Right.
One of two people did it, and whichever one of them did it was asleep at the time. Mm-hmm. But the kid who has nightmares every single episode of night, like she said, they never set up sleepwalking.
Right.
But they never set up sleepwalking for the other one either. Like, so whoever did it, it's the first time we've ever known them to sleepwalk.
Yeah.
Right.
Which gets into the thing you were talking about, why you hate Sherlock Holmes. Yeah. Like, it's an entire book or movie where it's like, you know, you want to try to figure it out because it's a mystery. And then at the end, they're like, by the way, here's this information we need to give you. Ha, we solved it.
Yeah, if the shows on Sherlock Holmes weren't entertaining for what they were, the mystery part is not worth it. It's right. But look at
Yeah.
But this movie just, it
failed on several fronts, in my opinion. And it's shocking to me that all of the reviewers and everything are like, oh, it's amazing. It's the best movie I've ever seen.
It's stylistic. It's dark. It gets the depression across. It gets the paranoia across.
It is well acted. It's true. It's just it was marketed poorly, and I don't like the extra whodunit mechanic that they was felt. It felt forced.
It was forced because a reasonable person, like the other family, they needed to see the child, and the other one wouldn't show him the kid, and if he wasn't sick, then they would have just showed up.
Yeah, they just been like, here's kid. Okay, we're all happy again.
Well, I mean, on the other hand, people were shooting each other at that point, so it's not unreasonable. Well, people were pointing guns at each other, so it's not unreasonable for the mom to want the kid to just not see the violence.
It's not unreasonable, except for the dad was pointing the gun first, and
if she'd be like, look, you know, like, but they, you're right. Like, reasonably acting people could have diffused that situation by not doing the thing that's only there to feed into the shoehorned ambiguity.
Yeah, ambiguity that's
totally understand.
So it's a movie. Yeah. Doesn't sound.
It had tension. Everybody dies. It's depressing.
I mean, you could put it on a Netflix and watch it. And that would be horrible because you wouldn't have paid for it.
But like the thing is, if I'm going to watch a movie that's mindless, even if it's well acted, if it's mindless, or whatever, I would have just rather gone and seen like Baywatch.
Well, I think if it was promoted as a different type of movie than what it was, I think people would have still. I mean, you guys might
people
have still
that went
seen
to
it.
See it might have enjoyed it more, but I think a lot less people would have seen it, and that's all they care about.
And that's true because that's the thing is like I keep hedging my bets, and it seems like I'm defending it, but I did not enjoy it. Like, I can't decide if I had gone into it knowing what it was. You know, like if you go to a pizza joint and you're told they serve the best dang ice cream, and you're going to go out for ice cream, and you're like, I'm going to get ice cream, and then you go and you get served pizza, you're going to
really
be pissed, and you're not going to enjoy your fucking pizza.
Right.
But if you know you're going for pizza, you can get and it's not fair to judge this pizza on the fact that it doesn't taste like ice cream.
And I get that. My question is, you guys universally didn't enjoy it, and maybe if you know what it was going in, you would have enjoyed it, but it's also possible it's just not a very good movie, and maybe you just, if your expectations had been low, you could have enjoyed it, but that doesn't make it a good movie.
The film dissector in me appreciated the shit out of it.
Okay, that's fair.
And so I might have enjoyed it from that point of view, from the point of view of appreciating the sound design, appreciating the cinematography, appreciating all that stuff. Legitimately enjoyed it as an art film. But expecting a scary movie, I was bored.
Yeah.
Waiting for scares.
Yeah,
like when we saw The Vavitch, I knew that was going to be a lot more artsy, and I was more mentally prepared for what that movie was. And
the
I knew
what?
The Witch.
The Witch. Okay.
But and I knew this so movie was also a tad artsy, but the way it was being promoted heavily was it was just, you know, it wasn't what it was.
Yeah, like, same thing. I enjoyed The Witch a lot, and I don't know that it was any different, right? But I don't know how much is my fault.
But we go, yeah.
Well, the marketing's fault, but you get what I mean? Like, as the viewer.
So I have a question that Non-Euclidean Nick brought up. There was something Katie mentioned. Is she told me part of the reason she describes it as Last Man on Earth, but without the main character, is because you don't like any of the characters. Did you guys feel that way?
No, I didn't say that. I said it was like the guy, I don't know if you guys have watched Last Man on Earth, but it was like the guy who's on the boat and, like, was always paranoid and had his spaceman suit and then just, like, wanted to kill everybody so that he didn't get sick. That it was like that was your protagonist.
And I don't like that character at all. Like, I don't even like that character as an antagonist.
Well, this movie is six of that person.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, but, I mean, in the situation they're in, they're not
so wrong. Here's my question. If those are actually, if there's six people and that's literally what's going on, then it's not a prisoner's dilemma anymore. If there's six people like that, I'm shooting the other five people as fast as humanly possible.
Well, two of those are your family.
Okay, then I'm shooting the other three.
Okay. And so there's other people. Like, there's strength in numbers. You know what I mean?
Not if there's nothing to fight.
Well, no, there's other people outside. They're in a location. They're not the only. They're not the last six people on Earth.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's six people in this house.
Yeah. Okay. And there was, like, a disease that was killing off.
Well, I get that it was a disease.
So it's a family of three, and they take in another family of three.
Sure.
And even then, the only reason they decide to take in that family of three is if they don't, that family of three can find one more person, outnumber them, and then those four people can take that house anyway.
Because guns don't exist?
They all have fucking guns.
They all have guns. Oh. But everybody has guns. House is valuable. They just have numbers.
It's not Canada. Everyone has guns.
But that's... Okay, I'm just saying... Maybe find 10 of them.
I know. Everyone in Canada has a
gun. So you're saying if they could go find enough people and come kill them.
If they have six people in there, you know, they're like, we are three, they are three. If we take them in, we are six against the unknown everyone else out there.
Which
if we don't take them in, they are three people who know where we are,
and
who know that we are three, and can do the simple math of figuring out how many more people to find to come take this place.
Right.
It's there's a point where you have to bring them in. Plus, they have water in their house. These people have goats and chickens, which gets you eggs and milk. I mean, there's other commodities
there's
to thought
trading.
About.
Okay.
Also, there's the attempt to be decent humans and try to have a
society. See, that's what I don't identify with. I'd bring them in. I'd bring in their sheep and their goats and their cows, and then I'd murder the three of them in their sleep.
Right.
That's what I would do.
I think that's
I love you all to death, but that's what I would do.
But you don't know that there aren't 10 other people out there.
Yeah.
Because these three... I'm sorry. I will say one more thing, then you can go.
Okay,
you don't know for real these three are actually just three. They claim they're three. They could be part of 15.
Which is even more terrifying, but carry on, Katie.
I actually think that the family that they brought in was going around murdering people. I think that's how they got the goats and chickens.
It's possible. He might have known those two guys. That could have been bullshit. What's that thing about his brother?
Yeah.
It's like Walking Dead without zombies.
Yeah, it really is just Walking Dead without zombies.
Which sounds terrible. I go back to if I'm going to spend 2 hours, even if money's not
a
factor, I'd rather go watch Baywatch.
If the world is ending and you are in that 2%, it's going to be terrible to the 2% wipes out. I mean, when it's a world ending, if you're not in the 90% who've died or whatever percent it is in this, you don't know for sure, but some high percentage of people are dead and the disease is still floating out there airborne. You know.
Also, no disease that virulent would actually survive like that. Like, they've just done studies that, like, the reason the Black Plague was so horrific is because it killed you so fucking slowly. Like, any disease that virulent, like, just doesn't spread.
Well, I don't think it killed them quickly.
You got it. You incubated for a day or two. You wouldn't know you had it. And then you started to show a slime. It was actually a long...
That's,
mean,
so it's almost the one in Africa.
No,
that disease. I cannot
Ebola.
Think. Ebola.
Ebola.
We don't know how virulent it is. We never see anybody die of the disease.
Oh.
We see somebody get it,
show
sores 24 hours later, and then be shot and set on fire. We don't know how long it takes
one would
to kill
assume,
you.
And it affects all creatures, animals.
Would assume if they're taking that extreme approach, it's because they have reason to believe it spreads very easily.
Yes.
But
that doesn't mean it kills quickly, which was your point.
I suppose.
It can spread easily.
You could have sores for 3 weeks.
You could have sores for 3 weeks. You could have sores for 6 months. It could be 100% fatal, highly contagious, but slow death.
Okay.
We never see somebody die of the disease. We see them die of, holy shit, kill that guy, set him on fire. We don't want to catch the disease.
Right.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
I would have seen that movie.
You still can.
The way it was promoted. It was really promoted as a
I didn't go because
a
I was
monster
scared.
Is coming and invading your house at night.
Nothing.
The name is it comes at night.
And they're
called it comes at night.
There is no way it does not come at night.
No.
Yeah.
Night terrors come at night.
That whole thing just
a sick dog comes at night. A guy breaking in comes at night. A couple things do come at night, but there's no it. There's no zombie attack. There's no big monster.
They make it seem like it's like a Bigfoot or like some kind of creature that comes at night.
Well, the trailers also show like a lot of the trailers focus on the kid's nightmares. So when you're watching the trailers, you're seeing creepier things happen, but it's just all from his nightmares. So it's not things that are actually happening.
So it's like Hercules.
Yep, a pile of trash.
No. No.
I said, anyway. I will probably rewatch it later, like when it's on Netflix or Redbox or something.
That's fair.
Knowing I want to watch it again and see if it's actually good and if I just hated it because I was bored out of my mind expecting a horror movie. Because it could be a good movie. That's why I gave a warning. I didn't put on Facebook, this movie sucks.
I put on Facebook,
this movie's not scary.
Well, what I told Katie, though,
my analogy about the suspense in this movie is like when you're watching your grandmother die in a hospice, or a hospice, you know, because I've done that twice now where I've watched somebody die, and I've literally held their hand watching their breathing get more and more bedraggled, and then they just die. That's what this movie felt like.
That sounds terrible.
The director, I would pay not to
experience that again.
I think he was going for that. He was aiming for that kind of, this is painful, and I know it's not going to end well, and it's emotionally draining. Oh, good, it's over with death. Mm. The end. Like, that's what the movie wants you to feel.
Mm.
I still don't think that was well executed either.
Fair. And it might not have been.
Because you like your grandmother, and you don't like any of these characters, it sounds like.
Let's talk about something exciting for just a few moments.
Sure, like what?
I recommended a show called The Genius a long time ago.
I've
been bothering Nathan, I don't know, a lot. Two or three years. And I only started watching it within the last year. My friend Tim told me about it. It's a South Korean show where basically they take C-list celebrities. They take their pop stars, their news anchors, their just like they have like StarCraft players on
it. StarCraft player is my favorite because his record, this is fucking heartbreaking. He has 22 second place national tournaments.
Oh my god.
And zero first places.
Oh my god.
He is known in Korea as Mr. Second Place.
Oh my god.
So he's on there. They have an older with the pop stars they get older and younger. There's like 12 of them. They're very interesting and they play social
12 episodes.
It's basically a social game. It's like
is it Big Brother? Kind of,
but they do a thing each episode.
And it's it. They show up to the set. They spend like 3 or 4 hours and they leave to their lives, come back the next week. So they're not
It's not like they're sequestered.
It's not living there. It's just, you know, 4 hours of life a week. It gets broadcast before the next week. So they know what's on the air.
Actually watch everything that like happened behind their backs the week before the next episode.
They probably filmed all of them and then.
I don't know if it's week. It's there's some kind of delay, but it films. It actually goes up pretty close to when it's done.
Oh, does it? Then yeah, maybe they can.
It might not be, but when people betray each other, they always tell each other because they always joke about it. But it's basically social gaming. Like it's nothing as complicated as Resistance. Like what's the first game?
So the first game, and each episode has a game that everybody plays, and then the winner. There's two immunities, and the winner either gets one for themselves and one to give away, or if there's a tie for two winners, they both get immunity.
Okay.
And then whoever gets last is going to get eliminated, and they pick another person without immunity to go against them in a one-on-one game. So there's two games, a group game and then a one-on-one elimination.
One's about 45 minutes.
So you could lose every group game and never get eliminated.
Correct.
Theoretically.
So like the first episode was they had a 1-2-3 game where everybody was given 9 cards, 3 ones, 3 twos, and 3 threes. And then you got an hour and a half and you had to basically play war against somebody. Well, not even war, like a trick-taking game. Like I would take you up and then I go, all right, we're going to play and we put down and my three would beat your one and so on. And the winner is the person with the most wins.
At the end, the loser
is the person with the fewest. If you are left with any cards, you are considered to have zero wins. And there was an odd number of cards. So they proved like immediately just talking about it that somebody was going to get fucked with the last card.
Oh, geez. Because
it was 9 cards times 13 is an odd number. And you're using up 2 cards per game. So the whole thing then became not just maximizing the number of wins, but just not get stuck with a card.
And then people could trade cards they realize later on.
They're like, can we just give each other cards? Like, yeah, sure. Do what you want. We didn't say you couldn't give each other cards. So one, like a team of two people, they had their 18 cards, and the one guy's like, I'll just You give me all your ones. I'll give all my threes. You beat me 9 times. 9 will definitely get you the win. I'll get 0, so I'll be on the chopping block. But I'll have no cards, so there'll be somebody else with 1 card who will also have 0. And they ask the croupiers, and they're like, yeah, if there's 2 people with 0, the winner gets to pick one to not be the one in the elimination.
Yeah.
So they're like, all right, I'll just throw you the win. I'll suicide myself to 0, but then you'll protect me. So it became a social thing, okay, not just the card game.
Interesting. And then every game, every episode's different. The first, and then I'm actually starting to see the games get slightly more complicated than that sometimes. And then the final battle was kind of like a rock, paper, scissors.
They metagame the shit out of that too. Yeah. The elimination was, they called it winning streak, where the 2 people up for elimination each played rock, scissors, paper against the other 11 people.
Okay.
In the same order. So like the 11 people picked the turn order that they would have, and the person A went up and played rock, scissors, paper against all 11, then person B did it. And whoever had the longest contiguous winning streak within those 11 games
wins. Okay.
And so the 11 people went into a room, and they're like, all right, tell you what, the first 10 of us will all let them both win, and then you, Mr. 11th place, will decide who we want to win. And you just beat the other person and lose to the other person. And the 2 people up, like, one of them's like, I'm just going to do rock every time. Like, there's no game here. This is just an election, basically.
Yeah.
And so they just, instead of doing random rock, scissors, paper, they actually, like, made it a social thing.
Interesting.
And then you'll see who betrays, which adds all levels of betrayal options.
Well, yeah.
Right. Oh, my God.
They play the rock, paper, scissors ones 3 or 4 times. The last quarter, they play this one game about 4 times, where it's like a South Korean game. It's like a tweaked version of a South Korean game. So when they play it, you're like, I actually almost have to Google how the game is played so you understand what's happening a little bit. But it's very cool. And every episode's a different game, and it's just all sorts of shenanigans. As you play it, you know, the personalities of people is kind of fun, and the social element is amazing.
Like, no exaggeration, you know, because it's an hour long. The last 20 minutes of this, I have only watched one episode. I watched this afternoon. The last 20 minutes, I was standing up in front of my couch, just hands on my head, because of the tension and drama that was going on.
That's amazing.
It was astounding.
Is it season 1's on Netflix?
It's on YouTube.
I posted episode 1 on my Facebook wall.
Okay. Yeah.
Nobody's responded yet, which pisses me off, because I have a lot of board gamers on my Facebook. Professor Lust is a fucking sociology professor. Yeah, this should be up his butt.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but it took 2 or 3 years. Like,
Brian's been telling you about this. This game was designed for Nathan.
To be fair, I started the first episode like right after he told us about it, and then I'm like, you know what? I should watch this with Raylene, and so I stopped it, and then I forgot it existed until he mentioned it again last week.
There you go. Yeah.
I don't know. Sounds like excuses to me.
It is, but I have twice watched it immediately after finding out for the first time in my life that it existed.
There you go.
I mentioned this in the car, but because it's South Korean, they steal American music all the time. They just like they don't give a copyright. The soundtrack's
amazing.
The soundtrack's amazing. Like they'll play this theme to Dexter when someone's being kind of a dick, and they have certain songs that cue in. And during the season, you'll see people just do amazing, like just shocking things, and they have like special music for each time that happens. And it's
even this first one was fucking amazing. Yeah. The twist at the end of this first one blew my mind.
Yeah, there was some.
It was baller.
Yeah, it's
maybe like, we'll watch and
then, I got 3 of them. Can we see the 3 you have?
Yeah.
And the way they film it, they edit it so well, because it starts off, and usually it'll start off and they'll explain the rules, and it cuts ahead two hours later, and it shows some sort of drama. It shows like 1 minute of drama, and then it cuts back, so you kind of like get little hints of just shenanigans that it's building towards.
Yeah,
it's just always, and then there's things that players do that are trickery that the camera doesn't always show you until a little bit later, so it's always bouncing back and forth in time.
The editing's really good.
So you see, so it's.
Well, yeah, because like the game match, like this first game will start in 1 hour, and then they cut to 2 hours later, and it's people just losing their shit and yelling at each other and being like, "What the fuck happened? He betrayed us!" And then it's like an hour earlier, and then it's the beginning of the game. And you're like, wait, what?
Yeah. That does sound pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's just because the show is just a game. There's no reality of them like living in a house together. Like none of people. It's just literally the game. It's just they get together, they talk for a few minutes, and they just game on for the episode, and then it's done, and then it repeats.
That does sound enjoyable.
But you have, because it's South Korean, it's all in
subtitles.
But
the first episode on the YouTube one, they actually have a cheat sheet at the very beginning of the first episode. They call each other by name, like Opa or teacher. There's all these terms you use for like a younger man or older man that they use constantly.
Okay.
It's like in Japan when they say san or kun or whatever.
Yeah, for, same. So there's like a little, you get really familiar with what people are talking about. Because if you're dressing like a woman's dressing a woman, if she's younger or older, based on like your respect level, you have like 8 different ways you can address the person. So you kind of catch on to that after a couple episodes, and it's kind of amusing. You actually can catch when they're kind of being insulted to the other person just because of the word they use. You're like, oh, I know Korean now. I know that word was actually kind of
enough Korean to know that was a subtle dig.
Yeah. Yeah, if you like at all like if things like the prisoner dilemma are interesting to you,
then that's fantastic.
Yeah, yes. This should have been a requirement for Lust's like his degree, his paper.
Yeah, or any game designer. It's yes, so good.
Very cool. I was telling Katie this on the way over, but Nathan, your guys is the cooking YouTube show that you've got up there, which, by the way, I have to give you the logins for your guys' YouTube channel since I set it up. 25% of your viewership from Canada.
That's because we're from Canada.
I'm pretty sure it's because War Machine players are from Canada. And we posted it on the Crippled System link. Like I think that like a significant percentage of people that like turned it on for just a second were watching it because it was posted via Crippled System.
Well, you know, that's why I
did you also have at least one watcher from Australia. Yes. So there you go.
Score.
Woot.
Woot.
They have fish in Australia.
They do.
But do they have Brussels sprouts?
I don't know. I genuinely don't.
Spoiler for this week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to this week.
I hate fish, and I fucking love the fish we made. Maybe you'll love these Brussels sprouts.
Maybe.
I'm looking forward to it. I had fun both watching you guys do it. Raylene posted that I really enjoyed watching you guys do this, and my response was, I really enjoyed eating the food, but watching was a secondary fun.
Something I found funny, just when I first started playing the video, is the film, the screen comes up, and if you imagine like five equal sections on the screen, yeah. Katie's dead center in the middle, and then I'm one.
And you're like over. Way over the left, yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't all the way on. I was in 2 out of 5.
I tried to explain to you guys where the camera was pointing, and you guys like, no, we're good. We don't need to listen. I was like, all right, whatever.
Yeah. Nathan's wife just centered your wife.
You set up markers on the floor.
No, well, no, they're standing behind a kitchen. They're standing behind a kitchen counter, and yeah. Katie was standing in the exact same spot she used to stand when she did the show by herself. Yeah. Even though I explained to her, the camera is still pointing the same where it was. You should move over so that you and Nathan share center screen.
Even though I think it's because those are different phrases.
That's true.
There's also a Batman tilt to it.
Yeah, a Dutch angle.
When did I do a Dutch angle?
No,
or was it just the whole time?
The whole time, it's just
damn it,
slightly tilted.
It's really it is actually legitimately hard when you're looking when you've got the camera like looking down at a long flat surface to not have an obvious Batman tilt. Like I fiddled with that thing for a while trying not to get one of those.
But you're just a little crooked.
Yeah,
well, it's fine.
I look at the world like this.
It looks straight to me.
You guys were talking about. I'm sorry to. You guys were talking about music before.
Yeah.
And so there's been a eBay commercial now that has reused a certain part of music that's bringing back weird memories. They used the music from Swiss Army Man.
What?
Really?
Yeah. The new eBay commercial uses the music from Swiss Army Man, and it's just, it's...
That's bizarre.
It's very bizarre.
Swiss Army Man is very bizarre.
Yes, it was.
I like the ending of that movie.
A lot of movies use music from True Romance, the You're So Cool music they play between like the two music. It's like this like little beat to it. Yes. I hear it in like so many other movies, and I'm like, it was first used in that movie. So whenever I see it anywhere, I've seen it like a dozen times, and I'm like, well, now I need to go.
The little Romance. Like ding ding ding.
Yeah,
ding. Yeah, that's. They use it in like a lot of travel shows, and they're like, go to your destination.
It's a cool little beat. It's relaxing. It's neat. I mean, it's weird that it's in True Romance, but it fit for it. But it's like reused music. It's really weird.
Have you ever heard of the Amen break?
Amen.
There's like a 2 second long little drum rhythm that's in like 80% of music out there. It's absurd.
Sure.
It's the most used little hook in music history. 80% is an exaggeration, but it's in a lot of fucking music.
It's like the Wilhelm scream that's in a ridiculous number of movies.
Yeah. There's like an hour-long video just talking about the Amen break that's really interesting.
What's the Wilhelm scream?
Have you ever seen anyone scream in a movie ever as they're falling? That was probably the Wilhelm scream.
Or the Howie scream.
I don't know the Howie scream.
It's the, you know, the is it the Foundry in StarCraft when you click on it and somebody makes that screaming noise?
Yeah.
That scream isn't a lot. That's like second behind the Wilhelm scream.
You would
recognize, I will play it for you later.
And
you will
recognize
it, and you will never not hear it when it's in a movie again.
Okay. The first time I found out it was a thing, the person was talking about it in the context of Star Wars, the Stormtrooper that falls.
In every episode.
And they were talking specifically in the very first Star Wars movie where they used the Wilhelm scream for that Stormtrooper falling. And then now, like, every movie I see, I'm like, oh, goddamn Wilhelm scream.
Well, it's like movies. It's like not, like John Wick has ruined so many things for me because, especially that.
Because nothing will ever be that good ever.
Well, no, because of the editing. Because basically when I watch an action film now, I see like 10 cuts per scene. And John Wick is like just action with very minimal cuts. And like even the movie with Charlize Theron is coming out.
Atomic Bond.
Atomic Blonde is the same style where there's a fight scene and the camera, they let the people doing the work, whether that's the actress or the stuntman, just do it so well that you don't need to cut away.
A million cuts, yeah.
You know, like, what? Yeah.
That would be the Wilhelm scream.
It doesn't sound peculiar to me. It sounds like all screams sound the same.
That's because all screams in every movie have that scream.
So it's the same thing. Certain things just ruin it. So when I see any fight scene in any movie, I'm like, okay, that all I see now is seven cuts, six cuts, eight cuts. I'm not seeing the action.
You're not even
anymore.
Seeing the action.
You're watching Liam Neeson jump a fence.
Yeah, I'm like, it's 12 cuts him from the cut of fence. I'm like, oh my god, I can't like turn, I like move. It's,
or like, God forbid, when you see shaky cam in a movie and you're like, I want to go back and kill the person that made Blair Witch Project.
Yeah.
Like, it worked for Blair Witch Project. Well, but the problem is that everybody else was like, I'm going to do shaky cam.
The shaky cam
for, like, somebody later on put shaky cam into
something else.
Non-found footage. Like, scenes in, like, the Bourne Identity. Bourne Identity, I may have been the thing that mainstreamed it.
Yeah. It was that and having the camera be too close. Because
the camera be too close thing's really annoying.
The illusion of fighting seemed more intense with shaking,
but that's
too
not
close.
It's not though. It's just, I just can't tell what's going on.
When Jim and Raylene and I saw the first Hunger Games movie, we were astounded by the shaky cam for fight scenes because of every mythological fictional place that one has cameras
that
being
are
used
being
in
used.
The story.
Right.
Like literally,
there's
they can
literally no
at
reason
least
for shaky cam.
There are camera people with a steady cam. Yeah, like the sequels when they're fighting like outside, and like fine, I get it. But like when they're in the dome,
yeah. There should never be a shaky cam ever inside the dome.
I understand they fixed it for the sequels, but you are right. There was no reason for that.
No, there wasn't.
Because then you see stuff like the Holly fight scene in Daredevil and Oldboy and whatnot, where it's one clip, or like you said, like John Wick, and you're like, oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Every season now, like two or three times during a season, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. puts on like a five-minute fight scene where it's just one sequence again, and it's so one like
and
scene
it's always
fights
really good.
Are so
on, here's the Howie scream for comparison. Or Andy's phone will be muted.
It's gone.
But that was the Howie scream on mute.
I just did it.
Yeah, he just did it.
Andy, you have a microphone. You hit it.
Oh, all right, fine.
You do have a microphone. Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
That one sounds like someone being murdered.
Yeah.
But yeah, the Wilhelm scream is in literally everything George Lucas has ever done. Yeah. Not only every movie, but every episode of Young Indiana Jones. Like, Lucas puts in everything.
He loves the Wilhelm scream.
But the rest of the universe puts it in 50%.
Yeah, the rest of the universe is like, well, we should just have a Wilhelm scream.
Seen a lot of Disney films and that, too.
Because the thing is, there's no reason. There is this giant collection of sounds. Like, right. It's not just the screams. Like, thunder is the same in every movie.
Yep.
A knife being drawn is the same in every movie. Because they have these pre-made sound effects. You have to pay Foley artists if you want something new.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to just pull up knife sound number 37 and go with it.
Yeah, it is. Oh, my gosh. So, anyway, that's that conversation. I don't even remember where we started that conversation.
The genius.
Which everyone should watch.
Yeah.
Which apparently you'll
greatly enjoy it.
Well, that's
goofy.
That's the goofy one.
That's goofy.
Different.
Well, if we're playing sound effects.
Oh, dear God.
Put mine away.
You know what I hate is that rusty metal noise that like reality TV does whenever they're doing drama. Like they go,
oh, like a squeaky screen door.
And like they do that every time that they're like, oh my god, what happened in Kitchen Nightmares?
Yeah.
It's like, shut up. Fucking stop it.
I like the one that goes bump bump.
The Law and Order?
Yeah. We should do that.
Can we just make a sound effects podcast where we just list sound effects for an hour and a half?
I mean, that's basically what we're doing right now.
Yeah, that was every episode.
That was like a quarter of part 10. Yeah. Like we reenacted so many sound effects in that episode.
We can do whatever we want.
Yeah.
Ain't nobody telling me how to raise my baby.
All right, what else we got for topics today? Anything?
I'm so hungry.
Andy's hungry.
Zappity grumble time.
Was it zappity grumble o'clock?
We're not even an hour into it.
No.
Where's that?
We're going back to our first season.
Oh, I had a... Well, you talk about something while I look up something.
Words, stuff, buttergum.
Nathan.
Buttergum?
Buttergum.
Buttergum? It was delicious.
We did have delicious pork for dinner.
Buttergum?
Buttergum
is delicious?
It was not. Brian brought a buttergum. We said pork is delicious.
Well, yeah.
Is that what you call pork?
Buttergum.
Buttergum, what?
Brian and I can just talk about Star Wars for an hour if you guys want.
Yeah,
no,
should play Star Wars Galaxy Heroes.
It happens every time Brian and I get together and Katie
hates
it.
Did Andy see Wonder Woman yet?
Nope.
God damn it,
Andy.
Even Chris has seen
Chris has this morning. Yeah.
All right, Nathan,
like three movies. Like
no, it's a clock. This next episode, next week, if Andy has not seen Wonder Woman, fuck Andy. We're talking about Wonder Woman anyway.
How come you didn't see yesterday?
You have a week.
Yeah, the whole day.
I was busy. I wowed.
Somebody has a War Machine.
Somebody actually had a question about announcements that we didn't make, so maybe that one.
There were some
looks.
Questions up atop too.
Yeah, but that's about announcement. But this is actually like cross tournament that you guys should go to next week.
We're not going there, no.
Cross tourney.
Andy will think about it, but not actually go.
Hey, my ride backed out on me.
You have a car.
He has two cars, technically, doesn't he? Or did you finally get rid of the old one? Did you finally get rid of the old one?
How'd you not see it?
I don't know. It's like a wall, and it's just part of your house now. I just don't even see it.
The best part is the noise my car made when it towed away.
Scroll up to the beginning of our chat.
I don't know how to do that
all
on here.
The way down the street because the brakes were all seized up. And the guy was trying to knock him out. And it did not work. So it just screamed all the way down the street. And then he finally turned it around and then drove it back and just went all the way the other way.
Yeah, that's pretty bad.
You need a truck with a bed on
it. He did have a truck with a bed on it, except for it had another car on it.
Oh, so he was... That's fair.
So he finally turned it around and pulled it with the front wheels, which were fine.
Jeremy, scroll up.
I don't have a mouse. Andy has the mouse.
While he's doing that, I found my thing, which was that I was down in Dallas a couple weeks ago.
You were.
And I put out a thing. You know, I mentioned on podcasts, you know, if anybody, whatever. So David, a listener who lives in that area, reached out and actually hung out with him, which was a lot of fun. We went to a board game store called Madness, Board Games and Comics. It was – so take like – a Shopko,
okay,
that big.
Oh my god!
Filled with, there were like 100 people playing fucking board games in there. Holy crap. It was clean. It was huge. It was amazing. Like
that is amazing.
Giant mecca. They must have had literally thousands of board games and stuff from forever ago. That's awesome. I thought was out of print. It was huge and cool.
Did you look for Blood Bowl team manager?
I did. Not. I did not. I looked for a couple of games that I wanted that were out of print, but they didn't have those, so they probably didn't have Blood Bowl Team Manager Foul Play Edition. Anyway, so thank you, David, for touching base.
Yeah.
And then a funny thing happened where while I was down there hanging out with David, a guy named Tim messaged me, and he said, hey, or messaged us, actually. He's on the Crippled System thing and said, hey, I've got this game that I'm developing, and I've got a prototype if you want to come by and play it. And I said, thanks. I appreciate the offer, but somebody else already touched base with me. I'm hanging out with him. And then I put the phone in my pocket. And then I mentioned this to Dave, and he's like, was that Tim? And I'm like, I don't remember what his name was. So I pull out the message to see, and Tim had messaged me saying, is it David you're hanging out with? And so then David and I went to Tim's place and played his prototype game, and it was a lot of fun. It was a little skirmish. It's almost like, not Necromunda. What's the other one? Mordheim. It's like a Mordheim style game, but like in the Matrix, like cyberpunk, cyber world, running up buildings and flying and shooting laser beams and stuff. It's actually a lot of fun.
Oh, that's really cool.
Yeah, there's a couple cool mechanics in it. One thing that was neat, the way it used skill checks was like if I was attacking you and I'd attack, the attack's a bad way because if I was interacting with you socially and I had like a 5 in a skill and you had a 3 in the skill, I would draw 5 dominoes and you would draw 3. And then we would do like a trick-taking game, again, like the 1-2-3 game in Genius, using those dominoes.
Oh.
So since I've drawn more, I have a higher odds of getting strong ones, but we still have this game to play.
And you still only play the number of dominoes the smallest number person has?
Correct. Okay. And so I get to ditch my worst 2.
But
then if I, you know, so...
If you drew badly.
If I drew badly, you could still beat me. Or it became interesting where like if I had 9-5-3 and you had like... 6-6-4.
Right.
So I need to make sure
that
my 5 beats your 4 so that my 9 beats a 6 so I take 2 out of the 3.
Yeah.
But if your 6s carry on my 5 and 3. And so it's actually really cool. It was a really interesting mechanic that I liked a lot.
That was really cool.
Good at those.
But thanks to both of them for entertaining me.
Yeah. Do you get to know what your other opponents down in my
house? Yeah, you showed them, I ditched the bottom 2. So because there was a show where you could even just say, well, I am guaranteed
to win,
and then you would just ditch them and speed that. But if there was, if it wasn't a guaranteed win, then you did that thing.
Okay, very cool.
One of the people in our chat asked us, asked me, I guess, because I'm the person who did it, if our Shadows of Brimstone Wave 2 has been shipped yet from Kickstarter.
Oh, yeah, I saw that question.
It has not. I have not received notice.
There's notification that you can go and pick up.
There's going to be pick. I could drive to Seattle and pick it up, which is it's a little bit tempting, to be honest. I could probably have some in Seattle pick it up for me.
You could.
And then just mail it to me, but it'd be a lot of work. I would have to notify them by now. But I'm hoping that Shadows will be sent to the U.S. by the
apparently
end of the
that
year.
Much stuff.
They're doing a variety of shipments for that company, and it's just going to take a long time. The company's very slow.
Yeah, it's painful. They're shipping out a billion copies.
Yeah, I mean, it's like 40, 50 pounds of stuff that I'm going to be getting.
Yeah, and lots of numbers.
But it's just, it's taking them forever. It's like almost, I mean, after like three or four
I'm sure it'll be the same deal where you can probably like pick it up at Gen Con or something,
no,
right?
No, it'll be, it'll hopefully be in the mail by then, but we'll see. But that was answering that question from earlier. That's all I had.
Right.
Funnel cake beer.
So that's a Hefeweizen. So that's just like a beer, and maybe it's good, maybe it's bad. But I'm fascinated by the fact that this is funnel cake flavored.
So this is
the one I'm more interested in trying.
Yeah, these are from Pierce Spoker. He
like Lewis Spoker?
Hmm? Like Lewis? Is it related to the Arbor?
No, it's not. Okay.
Whoa, hello.
It's empty.
But no, he gave those to me at MomCon, and I just...
Well, I guess we have beer. I guess Katie's trying one.
Yeah, I'm waiting for you two to try before I open a second one.
I hope that was what you intended, Andy, because Katie opened it.
Because if this goes over like an RC-10, I'm not going to open a second one first.
It doesn't taste like an RC-10. It just tastes like a beer. I don't get the funnel cake flavor.
It tastes like a wheat beer. I don't get the funnel cake either. Yeah, I mean, it's not bad. Is it sweet? It's a wheat beer. Do you like wheat beer?
Yeah, it tastes a lot like a Blue Moon. Like, you need to put an orange in there.
Yeah, like it's not a bad wheat beer. It's just I don't taste funnel cake.
Yeah, I don't taste funny cake.
Okay. Funny cake.
Shut up. I don't taste funnel cake at all. But it is good. Forgotten Boardwalk Brewing. That cat has three eyes.
Like, that is much better than that.
Is it? Okay. Andy's already tried this one.
Apparently. I've already tried the other stuff.
Apparently it was not as good.
There's a puddle. Can you get it for me?
Sorry. That was just, I was.
No, that's fair.
I was doing no lip.
You
no
need
lip.
Assistance there. Okay. There you go. Got it.
That one's a little bit stronger. That one has more of a fruity.
I mean, this one's a good wheat beer. It's just I don't taste funnel cake at all.
It says always shimmy, Fizzy. Never shake. Enjoy responsibly.
Well, yeah, don't shake a canned beer.
You shimmy it.
Shimmy, 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 duh.
Shimmy, shimmy, Cocoa Pop.
Give it to me now.
What? I figured.
Whatever, that was a perfect rendition.
I don't think those are even the lyrics.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Probably.
Okay, what are the lyrics?
I don't want that. It smells like pee. Smell it. Am I lying? Just smell it. It might not taste like it, but just smell it.
Just smell it. That's the name of a sex tape.
It doesn't actually have... I don't smell pee. I don't really smell much of anything, though.
Don't smell pee? I do on a regular basis.
I have cats, too.
Never again.
I don't smell anything.
Raylene will be like, oh, that kitten.
Yeah, I don't smell anything.
I
want
to get
that.
A kitten. I'm like, fuck no, you. Kittens fuck grow that. Up into cats. And the best thing about cats is that they fucking die.
Yeah, I don't know if Katie's right about all pets. Katie may not be right about all pets, but the best thing about cats is that they die.
You know, the greatest thing about cats, though, is they live longer than dogs.
Yeah, that angers me on so many levels.
No, but yeah, it's the reverse, because like when we got Kaya, like I'm that nihilistic and depressed about things. Like we got the dog, and I'm like, oh man, I'm gonna fucking cry my eyes out
when this
decade.
Dog dies.
Oh,
yeah.
You do know that I know what the order. I have a good idea of what the order Katie, is. Katie like when
calculated
my animals die.
The order and rough years, just so that she could prepare herself for the fact that she's gonna be incredibly depressed. And like according to her math, there's like a 2 or 3 year stretch where 2 or 3 of them die like back to back to back. So that'll be fun for
she'll
me.
She'll be both depressed and cheering.
So I already have planned what the next animals that I'm going to get, the next round.
No. No more animals. Yeah. Animals are terrible.
You're going to get a parrot.
Spoiler, it's a cat.
No.
You should get a dog.
No.
When your two dogs die, get a third dog and let the dog inside like a normal person.
No, I don't. Because it's so mean to the older dog when you get a puppy and the older dog's like, what the fuck is this?
Well, yeah. I mean,
you're a replacement.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, exactly. I mean, you can't have
to,
you know.
To be fair, Malcolm, when Katie brought Arya home, Malcolm was in a huff for like a month. Like, no lie, a month. He would just, every time he'd look at the dog, and he'd go, and then he'd go into another room where no one was and lay down with his back to us for like a month.
I talked about the budgie paradox on here, didn't I?
The budgie paradox?
Raylene had a parakeet.
Have you tried that?
Yeah, it's all right. You want to try a sip?
No.
Okay, I'll drink it. Did you try it yet?
I'll try it.
It's all right.
Why not?
She had a parakeet, and it was depressed and terrible and hated everything.
I think I like that better than the funnel cake.
And so we looked it up, and the thing is they're social, so they're not supposed to be alone, so we got a second budgie. And then what happened was they lived to be X number of years, and budgie one was X divided by 2 when we got it. So let's just say it's 4 years.
Sure.
So 2 years later, budgie one dies.
Yeah.
Now now budgie two is alone.
And depressed.
So we get a new budgie.
Yep.
2 years later, budgie two dies. So budgie three is alone and depressed. So we get another budgie. And 2 years later, that budgie dies. And we're like, God damn it, we don't want to. And then a cat ate the other one a week later.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we're free.
The best thing about pets
is that sometimes they murder each other.
Sometimes they die.
My cat killed my ex-sister-in-law's hamster.
Did it really? Is that Philip?
I thought you were going to say nephew.
No. No, I don't. Well, we don't.
Katie's brother and her ex-sister-in-law are currently getting divorced. So anything that ruins her ex-sister-in-law's life, she's okay with.
Well, and this is the best
then
part.
Then she's not your ex-sister-in-law.
I guess not technically yet. Soon to be.
So, the cat must have eaten the whole thing, too, because we never found it.
When Raylene's kids were younger, they went to, like, Disneyland or something. When they came home, the cat had killed the hamster and left it open for display in the middle of the living room. Like, it was full, like...
Yeah, eviscerated.
Like, the cat's like, welcome home. I got you something. I did.
I got you a present.
Yeah, that scarred the children.
Yeah, that'll do that.
My mom, I don't know if you ever met Mocha, but Mocha killed Freddy too.
Her fish.
My fish. Mocha just scooped it out of the bowl and then just left it on the counter.
Cats are assholes.
Yeah, they are. Cats are terrible animals.
I like are the cats who are basically dogs in disguise, like Loki.
Loki actually was completely the opposite.
Yeah,
he was a terror when I first got him.
When you got him, yeah.
Yeah, we had like a couch. He would chase people across the top of the couch as they walk out of the apartment and attack them, like biting on their arms and that. And then I got Cleo, which is the smaller one, and that changed him like
dramatically.
Instantly, he was suddenly like, I'm tired. I'm just going to lie down now. And then he became really the sociable fat cat.
He was very sociable by the time we knew you.
Fuma's pretty good. You like Fuma, right? Not you. I know you don't like Fuma.
Now, to be honest with you, I mean, if you get a cat, you train it right. The unfortunate thing is that Nathan already had a precedent set from another cat in his place where it peed everywhere.
Yeah.
If you have a cat that
one cat has peed in a home, every cat will pee in that home.
I think cats pee or they don't. Because even when Tippy was peeing in my apartment, Fuma never peed.
I think Fuma's an exception to that rule.
Alfie was great. I loved Alfador. He was great. But then, all the other ones after that were terrible.
Yeah. Loki sometimes had issues where if I had a pile of clothes.
Yeah.
Yep.
But that's also dealing with litter box. Maybe the litter box wasn't exactly the most immaculate.
Some cats, that's the case. Like, you know, they'll be a neat freak, and so if the litter box, then it's kind of on you. Some cats are just like, you know what, fuck you. I'm just going to, you left your shoes not in the closet, I'm going to piss inside of them because fuck you.
Used to wait until I would make the bed, and then she would stand in the middle of it and pee. The first night that, when Jeremy and I, we hadn't even decided, so he was sleeping on the couch, and my cat came into my bedroom and peed on me.
On top of her, in her bed. So I'm out on the couch. The reason I stayed is I was too drunk to drive home to Mount Horeb. We were dating at the time, and so I slept on the couch, and I suddenly hear screaming, and she comes running out of her bedroom with her blanket, with a cat inside it, throws them both out on her porch, and slams the door, and I'm like, the fuck just happened?
The cat peed on me.
The cat peed on her.
Not to be his nickname is Garage Cat, where she lives happily.
Because she revenge pees. She does not like me, and so she'll get in the house and she'll pee because she doesn't like that I'm around.
And that's a social thing, too.
I pee in your house sometimes, too, because you're around.
Well, that's fair.
Yours doesn't smell like Tippy's.
Fortunately.
I'm on your bed.
That's why we got the cover.
Joseph1313 asked if I ever heard a rabbit scream as a cat attacks it. I have
I have not,
but I had a pet rabbit that screamed in pain as it died of a brain tumor next to my bed when I was 10.
What?
Yeah. It was dying of, terrible. And so I'm sleeping. It's just, I wasn't sleeping, you know, for all of that night. But it just as it died.
Yeah.
That was fun.
We've heard many rabbits scream as Arya kills them.
There's also...
They don't scream, they don't get the full scream out. They get the... I'm like, oh, she just killed another rabbit.
This one was like for 6 hours.
Oh,
just screaming in pain.
You guys got hawks, too.
No, they have hawks. Brian and Jordan have hawks.
We don't have rabbits
Who
anymore.
Poops magnificently.
Poops like a king.
The Acres and I were at Brian's house. We're looking at the hawk like, oh, wow, look at that hawk. And the hawk just like, I think it saw us admiring because it just leaned down and launched a 30-foot arc through the backyard. It was majestic as fuck. It's like... Boom! That was a rabbit yesterday.
They were talking, like, they would see suddenly the hawk up in the tree there with something by its feet.
Oh, it's just on the fence all the time, just gnawing on a rabbit, just kind of hanging out.
Yep. No, we have Arya to take care of that problem, so there's no hawks over in our house.
My uncle was rototilling his garden and hit a rabbit nest.
I did that mowing. Well, I didn't do it. We pay our neighbor kids to mow, and they were mowing one time, and I suddenly hear them start screaming, and I run out in the backyard, and
That was in their yard.
No, it was in our backyard.
Oh. Fuma goes in the front yard.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a kid and you run over a nest of rabbits, babe, because it's just like, oh my God.
I mean, because this was 2 or 3 years ago, and he just graduated from junior high. So he was like
13,
14. And his brother's several years younger than him, so he was like 9 or 10. Yeah, they were not excited about that.
I just saw an announcement on Facebook about that. Is check your yard for like what looks like dead grass.
Yep.
Look at that first, because it might be a rabbit's nest.
But then you just killed a bunch of rabbits, which is great.
The easiest way to find out if it's a rabbit's nest is to run it over with a lawnmower.
I just let my cat out there, and problem solved.
One time, the neighbor girl told me that Fuma was eating all the baby bunnies, and I asked her if that's why Fuma was so fat, and she didn't know what to say, so she left.
She just went home. Literally, what was going on was...
She thought you were
going
to stop Fuma from doing it or something.
This neighbor kid lives two houses down from us, and you could see from our front yard, Fuma had literally just, like, opened the lid of a candy jar of baby rabbits and was sitting there eating them one at a time in front of this little girl. Just like she'd take one out, she'd pop it in her mouth, she'd chew for a minute, she'd take one out, she'd pop another jelly bean on in.
Oh, God. Nature red in tooth and claw.
Yes.
Did you see those Chinese zoo investors?
No, what?
So, like, their zoo wasn't making money and they were angry about it, so they just threw a live donkey into the tiger exhibit.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, the video's on the internet.
Yeah, I'll bet.
Like, yeah, it goes badly for the donkey.
No shit.
Did the tiger get injured? Because it can kick.
It tried. Yeah, like the tiger didn't get like a broken jaw or anything. The donkey did not go down. It went down swinging, but did not land anything significant. Well,
you have to figure that. I mean, if they've been in a zoo for a really long time, they have to be a little bit confused for a minute. Like, why is there a donkey?
Why is there a donkey in my
instinct
cage?
Instinct kicked in.
Yeah.
They figured it out.
But like, so the thing, I'm like, oh God, feed a donkey to the tiger. I'm like, that's horrible. And then I'm like, well, oh, it's in China. Like, maybe. You know, when you think about it, that's kind of natural. Like, maybe that's just the way they're doing it.
If you knew the Madison Zoo was throwing donkeys in a line every so often, I think I'd probably start charging again.
And so I was kind of okay with it. And then I kept reading that, like, they did it because they were angry that they weren't making enough money. Like, they were just pissed, anger. So they just sacrificed a donkey to the gods of capitalism.
I'm okay with that.
If I owned a zoo, Nathan, China, I'm not going to say I wouldn't do that.
That's progress in China.
Yeah.
I would much rather watch the Chinese woman try to deal with, like, 5 panda babies trying to sweep a porch.
Yes. Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen the videos of that. I'd rather watch that than... some poor animal gets.
Somebody asked why the bunny hate, and I guarantee the person who asked why the bunny hate is not Australian.
Or doesn't own a house. I used to have lilies. I don't have any lilies anymore.
Yeah. Rabbits they're rats, they're pigeons, they're whatever terrible infestation of animals you have.
Do not badmouth rats.
With good PR.
Yeah, yes. With good.
Rats are rabbits
with bad PR.
Yeah, rats are rabbits with bad PR. They are an infestation that destroys things because there are too many of them. In small numbers, they're fantastic and they're an important part of the ecosystem. But when they're just, in our yard, there was probably a hatch of bunnies.
They're part of the ecosystem when they're doing the thing that we're currently celebrating them doing, which is fucking dying.
Well, yeah.
Rat is doing nothing good.
It's doing nothing useful.
Except staying around so it can be a dead, rat, I'm sorry, bunny.
Bunny.
A live rabbit is just waiting to be a useful bunny.
Yeah.
I grew up, I had a pet rabbit, and then we ate it.
I had pet rats, but that doesn't mean I want rats in my corn silo if I had a farm.
Right.
A pet bunny is different than an outside bunny. Every time Arya has killed a bunny, she's gotten fleas. One time she got tapeworm.
Yeah, they're infested animal. I mean, they're disease ridden animals that also destroy your yard.
And we're not allowing her to eat them. They just
biting them enough to kill them, because Arya, whatever breed, I don't know what breed Arya is, but whatever breed it was clearly bred to kill rabbits, because she just runs out there, snaps its neck, leaves it there, and then just backs off and waits for us to come deal with the rabbit. She's like, look what I did.
Yep.
And it's like, we didn't train her to do it. She just does it. But like,
she's a frontier dog.
She is, man. And like, my point is, she doesn't nibble on the carcass at all, but she's gotten worms, she's gotten ticks, she's gotten fleas. Like, they're disease-ridden animals.
And they almost killed my rose bushes.
Pet ones are cute.
Pet ones are cute. Yeah,
pet ones. There's one in my apartment right now.
I know people that, I'm sorry, but I know people like pet rats too.
We got rid of it because remember, if you recall, my stepkids dropped it off at the house and then they just left it there for like 6 months and we finally made them take it back. Now they're just moving back in with us.
I feel like you're losing this game.
Wait, what?
Can you just take
but this time we're charging them rent. So we can save up money for a house that they're not allowed at.
Sure.
That's the plan is for the next however long.
That's not going to work.
For the next however long, both couples are going to be paying half as much rent so that both couples can just buy houses and stay the fuck away from each other.
That's not going to work. You guys are going to buy a house and you're going to be taking them.
Well, we're thinking the flip side is we could, like, I did the math and, like, we've got three pairs of kids and then us. And so that's four couples. If we got, like, a fucking mansion, like a six bedroom huge place, we'd have two extra bedrooms. We could stay the fuck away from us and it would be cheaper than each of us paying rent on our own place.
Yeah.
You need two kitchens.
But you want your own space. They're adults. They need to live on their own.
You need two kitchens if that's the case.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, but in a house that big, two kitchens is not uncommon.
Especially like if two of the bedroom, like if it's one of those places that's like a four or five bedroom house and then it has the little mother-in-law house.
You're going to buy two sides of a duplex, basically.
Yeah, we actually did legitimately look at buying two sides of a duplex. Yeah.
Hey,
that was one
duplex
of the thoughts.
I don't know if it's for sale anymore. Our friends recently sold it, the one that Jordan Gregg lived in.
Yeah.
You could buy that. And then
you could be a block away from us the other direction from Brian, and we could all just live on a street.
We also saw like like one of those like hunting lodges with like the huge open area, and like it's technically like a hotel, so it has like 10 or 12 quarters in it that each have like their own kitchen. And that was only like $1 million. Like, for five couples, that's only $200,000 each, which isn't bad compared to buying a house.
The all Hispanic community I grew up in, that was how everybody did it.
Well, there's a lot of real estate taxes on $1 million and a lot of upkeep.
Sure. But there's 10 lodges in there. So let's all, we can make it the crippled system house.
The crippled system commune?
Yeah. We can have a commune.
No.
We start a religion. We don't have to pay taxes.
Nathan says he doesn't like any of us that much.
No,
you'd have to get it like, rezoned.
I've always thought about founding a new religion. I'll just take Christianity and get rid of Leviticus. Because most people, that's the book they have a problem with. Because you get rid of that, and you get rid of like the God hates fags and the don't eat shrimp and stuff like that.
You do get rid of a lot of stuff.
And so if I just take Christianity and get rid of Leviticus, I think I could become tax-free.
Well, so here's the thing.
Katie's gonna
might be tax-free, but any income that you draw from it would still be subject to employer taxes.
Sure, sure. But like that, if that is a commune... That is like
you don't pay property
like monasteries don't pay property taxes.
So you would basically like okay.
So I'd be a cult leader is what I'm getting
at
here.
Yes, you would be a cult leader.
But I'd avoid the whole like, you know, seven wives and all suicide pact aspect
of it.
You know what? I'm not a not for profit
I'd avoid the suicide pact.
You'd avoid the suicide pact part of it.
That's somebody else to deal with.
Those are bad PR things to do.
Yeah. Okay? Just don't do those things.
Yeah. So
tell people about them.
Well, yeah.
That too.
You can make the children make little like dolls and the women, the children and the women make little thingies and then you can sell them.
Sell them as part of your religion.
Yeah. To raise money for your religion.
Sure. Men too. We can all make stuff.
Cult leader Nathan.
No, the men are busy doing something else.
Making more.
Making children that
making
can
children
make.
Making children that can make. Yes. Yeah. That's how the cult. That's why cults are so popular.
Yeah. It's all coming
digging
together.
It. All right, so we have a plan.
Now we have an episode title. We start a cult.
Yeah.
Cripple System starts a cult.
All right, so are we doing some zappities and grumbles?
Do we have some
cults
zappities?
Cults are just religions with bad PR.
Zappity grumble
that is
time.
True.
Train the kids to assemble Nis archers.
We can make a killing.
And that would count as our first miracle.
I can't assemble Nis archers. I'm a fully grown man.
Yeah, but they got smaller fingers.
Oh, they do.
That's true. That's true. Like Snowpiercer or Schindler's List.
They're young and dexterous. They'll be great at it.
Or good. Never mind.
They have to be at least six, though, because five-year-olds' attention span is, like, not there.
But six-year-olds suddenly have one?
And they have to be little girls, because little boys cannot sit still.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the best thing about child labor is...
There's one
that
they
die.
Yeah. They die.
They
die. The best thing about child labor is that they die.
Wow.
They don't die. They grow up.
Well, not if you're working them hard enough.
Yeah, you're just doing it wrong if they live.
If they're assembling Nis hunters, they're not dying. Like, are you not feeding them?
Assemble more Nis hunters.
All right, turn the Zappity grumbles.
All right, let's hear it.
Are you feeding them? Because that's expensive.
Yeah.
Otherwise, they get shaky, man.
That's a good point. Oh, this my is God. Fine labor. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So, best Queen soundtrack, Flash Gordon or Highlander?
Flash Gordon.
I have no idea.
I actually like Highlander better.
Highlander's a better movie.
Probably. No, but I like the soundtrack for Highlander.
I like there's a lot more good Queen songs to the... I mean, the whole kind of magic, like side B.
Mm-hmm. But football all, fight.
There are some good... I mean, it's two good things. I'm going with Highlander. Yeah. Who wants
I'm
to live forever?
I'm not saying the Flash Gordon soundtrack's bad. I'm just saying I think Highlander's better.
I like the one with Bohemian Rhapsody.
That's not...
Maybe I just like football fight more than I like Princes of the Universe, and so that's tainting.
You have Prince of the Universe, Who Wants to Live Forever, and you have the Kurgan's theme song.
Oh. I love the Kurgan.
Yeah.
You know, I got something to say.
Yeah.
It's better to burn out than to fade away.
It's true.
You ever seen Highlander?
No.
Why are you
had,
shocked by that?
It had Sean Connery as a Spanish person living in Scotland.
Yes.
Our
friend Jim, his only Highlander that he saw was...
Well, the first Highlander he saw, yeah.
Was the second one.
Which is a bad decision.
Well, and then they made him watch the first one, and he was confused because nobody was talking about the fact that they were aliens.
The first one is also basically an open and shut movie.
Yes, it is. There's no reason for that to have a sequel.
There's no reason for it to have four sequels.
Someone made
a
good TV show out of it.
The TV show was fantastic. I really liked the TV show.
But, yeah, Highlander is a much better soundtrack.
The guy who played Duncan MacLeod in the TV show was fantastic.
Yeah.
Duncan MacLeod of Clan MacLeod.
Of Clan MacLeod.
You always have to say of Clan
Sorry,
MacLeod.
My bad. Of Clan Jeez. MacLeod.
God, that's been 20 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, what the fuck was his name?
The actor? I don't know.
Yeah.
Remember. Hugh Laurie?
No.
I think it's Costas
Mandalay. Bob Costas?
Bob Costas. Bob
Costas. No, that is definitely not true.
Bob Costas.
Is the Highlander?
Is the Highlander.
Oh my God.
There can be only one.
Zappity.
So it's not really a Zappity Grumble, but it's an interesting thing. So IDW does comics.
Okay. Adrian Paul.
Adrian Paul.
Adrian Paul. IDW does comics.
Does comics. So they do Transformers. So he's given a quick summary of what's happened in IDW's Transformers.
Okay.
Which Megatron is an Autobot.
Sure.
Sure.
Optimus has a Next Earth and run up against G.I. Joe, Mask, Action Man, the Micronauts, and Rom the Space Knight. Rodimus leads the most dysfunctional, meandering starship crew outside of Farscape. And Starscream is elected Lord Ruler of Cybertron.
What? Digging it.
I might have to check out IDW's Transformers comics.
It reminds me of the time I randomly picked up an issue of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles one. Mm-hmm. And if I recall, so Leonardo was dead.
Okay.
Donatello was a cyborg. And Raphael was leading the Foot Clan after murdering the Shredder.
That makes sense.
That part holds together.
Yeah.
All of those parts.
Really all those actually kind of make sense.
Michelangelo was the only one that's still just like, hey, I'm a turtle.
I'm a turtle. I like pizza. Yeah. It all kind of holds together when you think about it.
The cyborg I don't get because it was...
Donatello loved machines. Technology.
He's the technology guy.
Well, I know, but it was back in the 90s. I'm like...
Sure.
Sure.
I mean, Cyborg, the DC character, has been around for that long.
I don't know who that is.
He's a cyborg.
He's a cyborg.
He's black also.
Okay.
Zappity.
He's going to be in the Justice League.
Oh, I know him because he's in Teen Titans.
Yeah. Yes! Cyborg for Teen Titans!
Also that.
Speaking of which, Teen Titans Go... terrible. It pisses on the grave of Teen Titans.
That's
and
too
it
bad.
Infuriates.
Because Teen Titans was pretty good.
Teen Titans was amazing. Teen Titans Go is an embarrassing abomination.
That's too bad.
I wondered why it changed because I watch it with my niece.
Yeah, it's wacky, goofy, fun time now with silliness as opposed to Teen Titans that was actually like decent, heavy drama.
Yeah.
And still entertaining, but still had some fun kids, stuff.
Like, the weird thing is the art changes. Just from scene to scene.
The new one is about as deep as Terrence and Phillip. Like, that's the level of, you know, and the old one, had drama and had comedy. It had a mix and it tackled serious things and whatever. Like, there was Starfire basically going through puberty and discovering stuff, and that's an important thing for kids of that age to watch and learn about and so on. Now it's just wacky shit.
That's too bad.
Yeah. All right. Zappity Grumble. Same user also has an unopened bottle of Jack Daniels that is 17 years old.
Ooh.
Should he drink it?
Sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll go bad.
He has an 8-year-old bottle of Southern Comfort.
Yeah,
sure. That one definitely didn't go bad.
He knows he can buy that stuff fresh, right?
Not safe. Send it to us and then buy yourself some new stuff.
And we'll double check it for you.
Yeah.
Nathan and I specifically will double check it for you.
Yeah.
So I need to buy some 7-Up?
Yeah. And then you can check it for him, too.
Fireball whiskey and vanilla Coke Zero is really good.
Both of those things sound awful.
I'm not a fan of Fireball whiskey.
Oh.
Neither am I by itself. But somehow with when vanilla you mix Coke? It with, well, Fireball and root beer is a classic.
I've heard that. I've tried it. I didn't like it.
Yeah. The Fireball and vanilla Coke. Do you like cinnamon at all? In
I do. Fireball is just so cinnamony. Yeah. Like
we could do Goldschlager.
I actually like Goldschlager, which is a similar flavor. It's just not as strong. What?
Goldschlager did not work well for me.
You had an issue with Goldschlager?
It's wasteful.
When he throws it up, it is.
It's not good.
No.
Zappity, grumble. Has anybody been watching this season of anime? If so, thoughts on My Hero Academia?
Of anime. It just seems like a
joke. And Attack on Titan Season 2.
Oh, I am not up to date, though.
I've not watched any of those.
I've heard Samurai Jack had an amazing season.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
I've heard good things about Attack on Titan.
Was done with.
It was, and then they brought it back for a season.
Okay.
And supposedly, whatever came back, like the AV Club gave most of the season like A's, like for the review.
Wow.
I thought that he talked though in the
He talked to the original one too. Not a lot, but
all I know is the new one's amazing. I'm debating watching it with no context of the old stuff and see if I'll still enjoy it.
That'd be interesting.
Whatever the AV Club gives, basically an entire series of a show
an A, it's way probably through, pretty good.
It gets on my radar, regardless of the genre.
I haven't watched the new one partially because Mako's dead, and he did such a good job as the voice of Aku. But, you know, I'll have to get over that.
I've never watched Attack on Titan. I've heard that's kind of cool, too. I'm not a big anime guy, but that intrigues me, and I kind of want to track it down.
Heard a lot of people talk about that.
It's not a live-action Cowboy Bebop. Yeah. Seems incredibly pointless.
Having just watched it recently, I don't have any strong... I'm out of people who've liked it for decades who are very sensitive, but I also wasn't offended by the recent...
Brian and I enjoyed Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, so...
So, clearly we're not aficionados.
All right, Zabity.
Grumble.
Are any of you tempted by a 40K 8th edition?
Nope.
I don't know what that is.
It's Warhammer 40K's newest edition.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think Nathan and I might play a game in it.
40K always has intrigued me, but I probably will never play it. Like, I would like to play, and you guys are arguing, orcs are always amusing to me. Like, if I was ever to go back into any Warhammer game, I'd probably go to the orcs.
If I went back, I'd pick Tyranids up again.
Yeah, Tyranids and
Necrons are amazing.
Are the two races I like. I like both of them a lot, so I'm intrigued.
Johnny come latelys.
We're robot Egyptians.
Fuck you.
We are going to battle. You and that's we need to battle 8th edition, live streamed, us throwing buckets of dice at each other.
As long as somebody else makes models. Make the models, and I'll just learn what's happening.
A good resource.
Yeah, I have a good resource.
You do have a couple of people
Make some lists. I don't want to know what any of my shit does until I sit
down at
the table.
Watching you guys play, sit down fresh with two lists, get like a 5-minute how the game is played, and just go and have your advisors have the patience to sit there.
Hard part.
And just stop you from doing really wrong things. No. And just kind of guide you through the rules just gently.
All I know is I have to shoot all the shit before it gets to me.
Yeah. Well, you have to start gently until things loosen up.
I don't know that holds. All right. Deputy.
Grumble.
But I am intrigued by what it is because it is a big corner of miniature gaming. So I'm curious to see if it's well received.
You didn't make the neck.
Christ.
Well, Jeremy couldn't even do the high five turkey. What the fuck?
I got it.
I have no problems with 40K existing. Like, Age of Sigmar was an abomination because it took the rank and file game and lobotomized it and turned it into a skirmish game. You know?
Yeah.
And 40K already is a skirmish game, so it's not really changing that much. Yeah, so it's just more 40K. It is what it is. You know what I mean? So it's fine. Whatever. Be what you want to be.
I mean, the current edition of Age of Sigmar is decent in what it is. But yeah, it took away a lot of the classic strategy of the old
The current fantasy. Edition of Age of Sigmar might be a perfectly decent skirmish game, but that still means that they killed a rank and file game.
Correct.
And that's the issue with it, even beyond the pretend to ride a horse shit.
And how they did it, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
But
that's not 40K's fault.
I've been so busy with games that I haven't done much of my Rune War stuff, but I will say Fantasy Flight has come out with like 6 or 7 or 8 expansion stuff for Rune Wars already.
Sure.
And that ranking, I'm on some Rune Wars forum. I'm watching people play these games, and I'm seeing these lists with all these different models and all these different like things being made. And it's really like wanting me to like find the time to like do it. But I have to give up some board game. It's like first world problems I am
you literally are running out of nights to play games.
Yeah, so I don't know when I'm going to fit Rune Wars in, but I'm watching the videos of people play games, and it's just amazing.
This is doing the IPA thing where the warmer it gets, the more hoppy it
gets. Oh, no, so no, now no, I want no, it to die. Nope, I'm done with that. That I'll pass
on. When it
on.
Was cold, it was okay, but now I can taste the hops, and I want to start killing random people.
That's fair.
All right. Andrew Groves, thanks for all the hard work Andy puts into this podcast.
True.
Nobody else puts any effort into this
that's podcast. That's true. The rest of us just show up, no, spew guys, nonsense.
No, I'm not
for
even
hour.
Being
no,
snarky.
I'm not
like,
either.
I'm not complaining for him calling you out. I'm agreeing.
No, I'm agreeing, yeah.
We show up, we talk, and we leave.
Yeah, and then Andy spends hours fixing it.
Not really hours. I mean, he doesn't I would
put
have
awesome
to spend
star wipes like you did for our cooking show.
Yeah.
Wow, those special effects.
I know. I told you it was going to be pretty good.
I like the incredible Mr. Lippitt style talking fish cartoon that you threw in. That was really impressive.
Hey, kids, I'm really excited to be here today.
That was that part.
Yeah.
Hey, you were tromping on Andy's kudos.
Yeah.
I kudoed him as well.
I didn't
mean
it about
you. As it says here, it's a great
to
listen to.
You're still tromping on his kudos.
Andy, go ahead. We'll make Nathan be quiet.
I'm reading directly from here. Is what would you do if I sang out of tune?
Wow.
I would stand up and walk out of the room.
I would stand up and walk out on you.
And walk out on me?
Not of the room, out on you.
I was twisting.
No.
Also, yeah. Is it key or tune? You said tune. That's what confused me. It's it should
tune.
Be key.
It's tune.
No, it's tune.
Well, oh, yeah, that's
it's out of tune. Yeah, tune. Come on, Wonder Years.
Come on.
Jesus Christ.
Walk out on me.
Yeah, that's crazy because that doesn't rhyme. Anyway, Joe Cocker's great, but he does not have cerebral palsy as much as his dancing would make you think he does.
That's a Beatles song.
But the Joe Cocker version, it's kind of like All Along the Watchtower is a Jimi Hendrix song. Like, even though... Bob Dylan wrote it originally. When you think of All Along the Watchtower, you think of Jimi Hendrix. And as much as I love the Beatles, when I think of that song, I think of Joe Cocker. Because he killed the shit out of that song.
Yes.
My mom's favorite song is You Are So Beautiful by him.
It's a good song.
You should check out...
breaking at the end of that song. Like, he can't even finish the song because you can... that voice break's amazing.
You should watch the video of old SNL...
Joe Cocker doing the song.
Of Joe Cocker and Jim Belushi on the stage doing it with him. Which, Jim Belushi was amazing back then. All right, so.
John Belushi.
Did I say John Belushi?
You said Jim Belushi.
You said Jim Belushi.
Did I say Jim?
I think it was Jack Belushi.
It was not Jim Belushi.
Did I really say Jim
Belushi? The wrong Belushi died. Yeah, you said Jim Belushi.
Yeah.
Jim Belushi has never been amazing. Except when he accidentally played a transgendered cow.
It's the life according to Jim.
Whoops, I really did not mean that.
That's okay.
What would you consider a good convention to attend, first time ever, War Machine or board games?
Gen Con.
No, not for War Machine.
No. What would you consider a good convention to attend for a first timer, War Machine or board games?
Oh.
I would recommend going to like Origins or Gen Con.
Yeah, I think for a first time convention goer, I think those are... It's not that I don't enjoy War Machine conventions, because I do, but I think for a first-time person going to a convention, like, you're never going to experience anything that's as amazing, in my opinion, as, like, a Gen Con.
Well, that's the thing. As a first-timer, do they want to deep-end it? Like, because Gen Con's fucking huge and fucking overwhelming.
And that's where Origins is, like, Gen Con, but from, like, 10 years, 15 years ago.
Right, Origins, so I'm wondering if Origin... Like, if you want to deep-end it, you're right. Like,
very soon.
Gen Con's insane, but you're also, you know...
Well, I guess, okay, here's the thing. I would still stick with my recommendation if you have, like, two or three friends you're going with. If you're soloing it, then I agree. Gen Con as your first convention is a terrible idea. Because you want to go to a smaller convention where you can make friends and start to get to know people and like build that social aspect, which doesn't happen at Gen Con as much because it's so freaking huge.
I don't really think of Gen Con as that big.
That's because we only go to like three rooms at Gen Con.
Yeah. Like, the amount of stuff going on is insane. And that thing is like...
The only other time I see you guys is at the hotel room lobby
playing board games.
We always walk down to the War Machine room usually every day.
We go down to the War Machine room.
We
say hi.
Today.
Then we go to the floor and we shop till we drop. And then we go play board games back at our hotel for the rest of the day.
It's when you have to walk the length of the convention all day, like when I was running events for things. Yeah. Then you realize how big it is.
Yeah, it's huge.
If you can focus on a half dozen things a day that you want to see... Gen Con might be okay, but if you're the kind of person who's going to want to do it all,
it's overwhelming.
It's just overwhelming.
The best experience I've had at Gen Con, and it was hilarious, was Brian and I, when Pokemon Go was still a new thing, and we were still like walking a lot, him and I went to Gen Con for a day. Just him and I, we did Gen Con all day, and then we went Pokemon Go walking for I don't know how many hours, and then we drove home.
It was intense.
We wound up, as I recall, we had to get a hotel because neither one of us felt safe driving the whole way home. We were going to just drive home, and we were like, we will die. We cannot do this. This is a bad plan.
Origins for board games is great, too, because the open play at Origins is much more organized than anywhere else I've ever been, because they have a huge section, and basically they just rope it off, and then you just get a badge. You're going to like walk in, and people, you get cones. You put a cone on your table, which means you have open spots, and people put the game box next to it, so you can just like walk around, and you can just see, okay, find a game. These eight people have free spots, and you can...
So that's fantastic. I would say, for a first-time convention goer, if you're going by yourself, you want like an Origins, or I would say War Machine Weekend's fantastic for a first convention goer if you're by yourself, because people are very friendly. It's a smaller community. It's easy. Carl runs that event really well.
I think for... if you'd have to have some inkling of War Machine in general.
Yeah, but assuming
if he's playing and listening to this podcast, he does.
Well, or board games.
Listening to this podcast, probably. But there's a lot of people play board games there too. Like, you don't have to play War Machine.
If it barely counts as a convention. I mean, it depends. Like, there's no celebrities. There's not like really the vendor hall like there is at a Gen Con. I mean, there's the small stuff like the Muse guys and whatnot. Sure, but there isn't, you know, 1,000 stores selling pre-release board games and whatnot. Blah blah blah. But like, so that's even smaller.
Yeah.
Right. So it's either War Machine Weekend is the small intimate one.
Yep.
Origins is the real deal, but overwhelming, smaller. And Gen Con is the deep end.
And then everything else is somewhere on that spectrum. But I would say, if you're going with a group of friends, bar none, if you may never have another convention experience, and this might be your only one, and you've got two or three friends, go to Gen Con.
If you have terminal, if you're terminally ill, if you're terminally you have one Ill, year, go to Gen Con.
You have one year, go to Gen
it's
Con.
Also the, I'm actually, I'm in
it's also the 50th anniversary.
I'm in that
year.
Stage now where I'm sort of like, I'm not going to Gen Con.
You know, no, you're going to go. We know you're going to go.
I don't have a room. I don't have a badge. I don't
you
have
go
anything.
For one day.
The first time we went, we didn't have any of those things. We slept in a room with about 30 people.
And that hurt so bad for so long.
Travis mentioned Adepticon being a good first-time convention as well.
It
can be.
It is more focused on War Machine.
It's very
on miniature gaming.
Miniature gaming.
But I mean, of the him bringing up War Machine and board games. I'm saying of those two. It's less of a board game. It depends what he's focused on. If he wants to go for the intent of playing miniatures games, War Machine or otherwise, Adepticon is the most miniatures game focused of those four.
No, Adepticon's really good.
Adepticon is also exceptionally structured, so if you want that, it's also good. It's, yeah. I mean, yep. Some places, like War Machine Weekend, is more loose and relaxed, in my opinion, and the barbecue is phenomenal.
Yeah, the barbecue is amazing down there.
So good.
I like Adepticon a lot, but I would, as a first-time convention goer, I would find Adepticon very stressful.
I mean, it's all basically just Famous Dave's. It all tastes the same.
See, this is the difference. When I go to Famous Dave's, I have to go home right away. And when I go...
Oh, I don't even get out of the restaurant. I pay the bill, I go destroy the Famous Dave's toilet, and then I go home. But the actual, like, it tastes...
Is that a verb for you now?
Fuck you!
Famous Dave's, is that a verb?
Oh, my God.
The difference, the quality of taste.
Nathan and I are not friends anymore.
I thought you were a connoisseur.
I am a connoisseur, but there's certain... It's the pizza thing, right? Or steak. We were talking about... I think it was with you. We were talking about steak.
Pizza 17 times a week. I can tell a very good...
There you go. You got it.
You can say all pizza's the same because you're wrong.
I'm not going to say all pizza's the same. I'm saying there's shitty pizza here, and there's amazing religious experience here, and this entire middle ground is basically tied.
I don't think that that's true.
You're wrong.
Like
there are
like, these, like there's
same with
smoky
like,
bones,
like steak, like a Chili's steak. Like as long as they don't cook it to shoe leather and fuck it up, a steak.
They always do.
I agree on the steak category.
Like,
I
do not to agree. Me, a lot of foods are just preparable in a that's good.
I don't disagree with you about steak. Barbecue, I disagree on. Barbecue, of all of the kinds of food that exist in the world, barbecue is one of the things that I can say without beyond a shadow of doubt. Yep, food is art. Because barbecue exists.
I'm going to go on a work trip later this year, and I'm probably going down to like Tennessee or Georgia, mostly just for the barbecue. Like, I mean, I can pick where I want to go to do some stuff for work, and I'm just going to go hang out in a field office for a week. But I'm going to pick. I'm basically going to research the barbecue locations near where I'm going to go, and that's where I'm going to pick.
I mean, there's a place outside of Dallas that had barbecue, and my post that I did on Facebook first, and then I put it as my Yelp review that said, "If you are in Dallas and you don't eat here, you're a fucking idiot." That was the entirety of my Yelp review because it was goddamn amazing. So I'm not saying that doesn't exist, but I'm just saying like.
I think sometimes you have to go with on the shittier end, though.
Maybe. I mean, I'm being. I did that partially for effect, but the point is, a decent barbecue place is pretty much dime a dozen.
I find it. Like I think it's actually really
a decent steak place and a decent pizza place. That's where
I disagree. I agree on the pizza and I agree on the steak. I think it's actually really hard to find a barbecue place that is of good quality. Personally, for me,
in Madison, because that one guy closed.
Like with exceptions, like St. Louis.
I was surprised by the place walking next to the game store. I thought was actually above average.
Well, the place in Milwaukee, yeah, that was really good. But like, I've lived in Madison all these years, and like Famous Dave's is the best we've got for the most part.
The one place
was good for a while, but it closed.
Smoky Bones up north.
Hell, even the Dickies over on Greenway is better than Famous Dave.
Yeah.
That's possible. I haven't eaten the Dickies.
You should. Dickies is a chain, but Dickies at least a year, but it's not like a decade. Okay. But yeah, and Dickies is a chain. You see them all over the place, but yeah. It's good.
Okay, might have to try it.
You should talk to Jim about barbecue. He'll lead you in the right direction in Madison.
He does seem to have
And I'm not saying that shit isn't better per se, but I will say is that like I'm perfectly happy with a decent barbecue place that seeking out those A-plus ones involved. You guys go on like a half-hour car ride, and then you wait in line for an hour, and you pay twice. And it's like, I'd rather just get a decent barbecue and just
wasn't true. When we were in St. Louis, there was the place that the only place we went twice was close. There was no wait. The barbecue was damned amazing. Sugar Fire.
What was the other one that wasn't Sugar Fire?
There was Papa something.
Papa Bear.
Papa Bear's was probably better, but it was more of an ordeal.
Papa Bear's was the one here.
We are.
I have a shirt.
It's got a piggy on it.
We are naming the one here.
But whatever the one there was, it was more of an ordeal. There was a drive. Parking was hard. It was a long wait. It was better.
It says a longer drive. Sugar Fire was closer, but when I went to Sugar Fire, there was like a half hour wait.
Oh, see, we never.
One place was a half-hour drive, and the other place was a half-hour wait, and neither of those places was enough better that I was worth wasting an hour of my seeing people I see once a year life.
We just drug people with us. That
place we drove for half an hour with, those ribs
were amazing.
I've never had ribs.
I was happy. I was perfectly happy.
I like Sugar Fire better. Was my consensus.
I didn't have ribs at Sugar Fire though.
The ribs at the other place were better, but the brisket and pork, they each did one thing better than the
brisket
at
Sugar Fire was amazing.
I had brisket at all three places, and the best brisket was the place that you had to drive and wait at that time. That was the best brisket.
Well, we'll try more St. Louis meat in November.
And report on it.
Got it.
Just don't get barbecue in Texas. Like the Texas style barbecue where it's dry and they just put like 80 pounds of black pepper on it instead of sauce, and it's just garbage.
To be fair, that can be done well, but often isn't.
But so did you have non-Texas style barbecue in Texas then?
Yes. I had St. Louis style barbecue in Texas, and it was amazing.
They didn't like set the place on fire. It was like great. There's like guards.
So happy.
That's actually kind of amazing. All right.
70.
Grumble.
Since the disband of the Press Gang, has your area experienced growth or decline?
I think CID's been fucking with it.
Yeah, I don't blame the PG thing. People are upset about the
community integrated development, where the group, the playtesting, where they put out fake rules. Oh, that's where Brian threw my phone.
Yeah, the PG thing had no impact.
Yeah, I didn't notice an impact from the PG thing. The CID thing has had an impact.
Because the thing with the PG, if you have people who are going to run events, they don't need a title to run events if they're good people. If they were fucktards who did it for the attention, fuck them.
Yeah.
You didn't need them.
And they were running events before they became PGs. Yeah, exactly. That's how they became PGs. Now that they're not PGs.
Madison's in a weird position, though, because we were in a situation where we had, four PGs all at once and more people than wanted to be.
Established.
It's a very, very established meta.
But I mean, because Rune Wars, they decided to pick Monday nights that I'm bored for, but I would have championed any night of the week that I was free down there. I wasn't going to be, there was no press gang for Rune Wars, but I wanted to play. You just have people who like a game, will work with the store and say, I want to play on X night. And you go down there for a couple months, give it a chance. You show up every week. You don't need a title to be special. CID, what killed me about that was the community.
The way the community reacted.
They're so
entitled is the word you're looking for.
And it's, I can't handle the people anymore.
Sorry, you guys told me. What is CID?
Community. It's open play test. Like Privateer says, hey, this week, why don't you play Kara Sloan as if these were her rules instead? And you play her that way and you give them feedback and she might change to actually have those rules.
Instead
of them just shitting out errata, they have you test things first.
Only it's not just a model. It's like one week they were like, hey, here's what we're thinking Steamroller might look like. Try this all out. And that was where the thing we talked about with Widgetgate that we told you about, that was because the new Steamroller was CID'd, and that rule that Widgetgate was based on was in that CID version of Steamroller.
And so
and the internet exploded all over
itself.
Which
is unfortunate because that's not what they wanted to test.
It's not what they wanted to test at all.
Test the scenarios.
They didn't care about that at all. And people were like,
spoiler, those suck.
And people were like, oh, I hated that rule. So I the scenarios, I don't know. I didn't really like them. So we played without the scenarios. But like, other than that, things seemed fine. And Privateer literally put a post. They were like, if your feedback is that you ignored any portion of the rules, kindly go fuck yourself. Like, that wasn't quite what they said, but they were
almost
like,
what
it's almost what Soul said.
So, it's kind of like the people that talk about, we talked about the recipes online. When, yeah. You know, they'd put out a ham sandwich review and they'd be like, yeah, this recipe was really good, but I make it without the ham or the bread and I use, you know.
Like, yeah. They just changed the recipe.
It's
completely.
Like, you just did a salad. No, I replaced the ham with lettuce and the bread with French dressing and...
Yeah. It was really good.
It was great. I loved it.
10 out of 10.
So, and like how some people, by the way, review the recipes online. They put 5 stars and they're like, this looks delicious. I can't wait to try it. And it's like, why did you review
it? Yeah, this? Why did you review it? You haven't eaten it yet.
But you see the flip side. Like, there's movies that people give 1 star to and they're like, yeah, it's not even out yet, but I saw the trailer. And do we really need this kind of movie? It's like, fuck you. What?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Tom Cruise is a bad person, so here's a 1 star review.
Yeah.
Things like that.
Yeah, but he's a great action hero. Yeah.
He runs like a master.
Oh, man. The Red Letter Media people talked about the Mummy today.
Did they?
They savaged it.
So
it looks pretty savageable.
So I could go tomorrow. Tomorrow is the only day that I don't have something in the evening for the rest of the week.
But
I think Nathan is working tomorrow.
But Tuesdays are $5.
Yeah.
Well, no, tomorrow's Monday and I do stuff Monday evenings.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying is you do stuff Mondays. I asked Katie if she wants to pantry in it.
Tuesday I have to play a board game.
What about Wednesday during the day?
Wednesday during the day.
I work.
Andy's going to be sick.
I'm not going to be sick for the Mummy.
You might be sick if you go see the movie.
Yeah.
I have a client meeting from 8 to 10 a.m. And then we have dinner with...
Zappity.
No,
this is
you.
So great.
Yeah. We're,
you're Wednesday.
You're Wednesday night.
No, I'm Thursday.
Then we have dinner with Nick and
then we have dinner with our other friends Wednesday.
No, you're
this
Wednesday.
This is not good radio. Zappity, 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 zappity.
No,
grumble, grumble, grumble.
Yeah, you're Wednesday.
Recommendations.
We moved it up.
We moved it up.
No, we're still going on.
Oh, my
so,
God.
Anyway, I was going to say that I would say...
Okay.
We should touch base after this.
Yeah.
We'll talk after.
For our area specifically, I think we've experienced a turnover for the amount of people coming down and playing War Machine.
There are a lot of new players still coming in, though.
We have a lot of new players, and a lot of the classic players are just not, or just waiting until things settle down, I think.
Well, you mentioned, like, the other day, Wednesday, the place was full, and there was no actual old-timers. It was full.
Yeah, full of new players, which is good.
Yeah. As long as it's full, there's players, that's all that matters.
Who's going to stick their models in a Twinkie?
I don't know. I just come down every so often and yell to D&D people and leave. That's really my role. When they get out of hand, they call me in. I got a particular set of skills.
They've expanded to 3 tables now.
I know.
How dare they?
I can see you. Like, they're down at the store on Wednesday, and the D&D people, like, expand one more table, yeah. And so somebody calls you from Pegasus.
I don't know who you are.
Just suddenly there's a speaker system with the audio coming through.
Yeah.
Man, I would set them on fire if I could. role play in your basement where God wanted it to be played.
Yeah.
I even like role play, but you don't fucking do it in public.
There are 2 things you don't do in public, and role playing is the other one.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Like,
I wish we had a live stream that we could just show of them playing and our faces.
Yeah.
Like in the foreground, just like, what the fuck?
They're so
One time we were there, and for no exaggeration, at least a half an hour, they discussed the market price of various foods in the town that they were in. It's like, who fucking cares? Say that you buy supplies, spend your copper points, and leave the goddamn town. But the guy's like, yeah, well, so it's they have fish, but they haven't discovered using salt curing, so fresh fish is cheap, but you can't use it for the long-term supplies, so you have to do this, and then they import the rice, so the rice is slightly more expensive. Like, who the fuck cares? Kill a dragon!
That sounds like just great role-playing.
Yeah, that does sound like it's Katie's role-playing group.
Nice! All they fucking did!
Did they sell any stocks in this house?
Which makes sense, because stocks are about as real as dragons, so...
Economics and Dragons.
Oh, Zappity.
That'd be a fun class.
All right.
And why wouldn't they have salt curing? They're a coastal town. They have salt water. The first thing any coastal society does is invent salt curing. That's why fish is always fucking salt cured.
Why would they need to salt cure it? They just eat it every day. It never goes bad because they eat it right away.
Right? Sure. Like, God forbid you ever prepare for, like, famine or you travel more than a day east.
Yeah, you can't do that. Zappity.
Crumble. sorry, we're going into a lot more privateer stuff. What do you think of stopping privateer from having a top tier board game?
The people who work there.
Yeah, they're designers and they're artists,
especially with losing DC. But I mean,
I think it's that they're late to the party for almost everything that they're trying to make.
They got a couple decent
invasion.
Ones.
Invasion oh, sure, was yeah. was basically it. It's not exactly the same as XCOM, but it came out right at the same time as XCOM. You have Undercity, and you have all these other games Ravenloft.
Sure.
You have
High Shadows Command, which is just trying to be Dominion.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
You're right. Because their two best games are Infernal Contraption and Zombies Keep Out, neither of which is copying anything else.
Correct.
And everything they copy, they do it in a much more bland method because whenever they try to copy another design, they don't do it well.
Their mythology.
They do it well.
Their games are serviceable, but the issue is their mythology is not cool and well known enough to carry them past other games that are similar to the games they have. Correct. Like when you like 40K, like the Warhammer universe is awesome and well known. That's why there's a million video games set in it. That's why, you know, it's fucking Space Marines and Orcs and shit. And Privateer Press isn't there. Nobody outside of War Machine gives a shit about Kane and Denny or whoever. And so you can't make a mediocre Ravenloft ripoff and throw on that it takes place in the Five Fingers. Well, nobody gives a shit outside of people who are already your fans.
Right.
You know, that's why like Mechs and Minions isn't trying to use the League of Legend lore because nobody gives two shits. They just made a game that's good.
Yeah.
It just happens to have lore in it.
Like High Command is barely a fine game if you've never played another game. If you've never played another deck building game, High Command can service you. But if you have any knowledge of how anything else is done, you're like, well, this is
just boring. A bad deck building game.
They make passable. It's passable. With the expansions, it actually got a lot better. But the first one is
First one was pretty poor.
But they make mediocre games that are in categories that are already saturated, and they
in a universe that's not badly well known.
And they expect their universe to carry them through, and it's not well known enough to do so. Or, so they need to do the League of Legends thing and make a game that's unique enough to stand on its own 2 feet.
Yeah.
Like Zombies Keep Out.
What was it? What's the company that we were talking about the other day, Brian, that we were like, they rip off everybody else's ideas, but they always do it so goddamn well that I don't care. Was it Flying Frog? There was some game maker that we were commenting on it, that they have a lot of games that it's like, oh, this is just like X, Y, and Z, except I'm never going to play X, Y, or Z again because this is just straight better.
Right.
And like Privateer has the opposite problem. Like their game is just slightly worse than X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
Like
making a worse Ravenloft.
It's not going to get you anywhere. No.
Because the board gamers will just stick with Ravenloft.
Yep.
And there's not enough War Machine fans to make you a hit on from their pocket.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a significant portion of the War Machine fans don't give a shit about board games.
Yeah.
Because they play
And the ones that do already own Ravenloft.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, so then you just get the Travises of the world.
Yeah.
And that's about all you get.
Yeah.
They're only catering to a very small market group.
Hardcore fanboys, which is a very niche group for them. Yeah.
So how do they expand their market base?
They do like League of Legends did, which is you make a game that is original enough to stand on its own 2 feet.
And I don't think that's the thing that I don't think the designers have the time and capability of with what their other responsibilities.
Then I mean, I remember a few years ago when they actually shopped out and told people, please design Bodger games and send them to us, and we will buy these games from you.
Yeah.
Which maybe that's where Heap came from, and Heap is terrible, so that was probably a bad idea.
Heap is 75% awesome.
Heap is...
It's a lot of fun.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, not Heap. Bodger Mania.
Oh, yeah.
Bodger Mania is garbage on a stick.
Yeah.
But they need to go to like an Eric Lang or somebody like that, and he'll mercenary work. I mean,
he did Bloodborne and stuff. Now the lead designer of Cool Manier now. They actually just hired him on because...
Then you get somebody like an Eric Lang. You mercenary somebody out. You stop doing shit in-house. You go to somebody like an Eric Lang or a Vlad, and you say, make an amazing game. And they go, here you go. And you're like, that game's fucking amazing.
You skin it now with your Privateer IP.
Now we skin it with your Privateer IP and throw it out there.
And then hopefully it's so good that people are like, oh, man, this IP is amazing. And then you can make other games in that universe that people will play.
Because you do that. I mean, you look at before Vlad, who's Reiner? Reiner Knizia. Reiner Knizia is like the game designer of all time, and every one of his games is just numbers and then a theme thrown on top.
Yeah.
But they're so well designed that
you love it anyway.
That you love it anyway. So they just need to get a Reiner, a Vlad, or an Eric Lang to make an amazing game that you don't need to know shit about War Machine. And then you just throw Kane on top.
Yeah. Yeah. Like 100%. There's no reason.
Like Mechs versus Minion, those could be Warjacks.
Oh yeah, 100%.
You know, like there's nothing League of Legends about that game.
I'm trying to think of like how
if those are Bodgers riding Warjacks.
Yeah, right? Okay.
I mean,
yes, then like, I can understand it. I was thinking about like a Warcaster trying to.
He's not a Warcaster.
He's a Warcaster who's having a seizure and he's trying to run jacks.
If those were Bodgers riding along on their labor jacks, just smacking them with wrenches as shit goes haywire.
Yeah,
that's there.
That could work.
That's 100% there. The League of Legends doesn't fucking matter. They just made a great game. They slapped their theme on top.
Yeah, it's a co-op Robo Rally is all that is.
So there's your answer.
Did you have a thought, Brian?
Zappity.
Crumble.
I didn't catch it on Twitter, but I then glanced at the time, and we are running.
Yeah, we're running pretty long.
About that one. Sorry.
All right. Any recommendations?
Recommendations.
Genius.
Isn't it The Genius?
The Genius Game. That one with all the Koreans in it.
The Korean TV show.
A lot of cute ones, too. Yeah.
Well, okay. Now, I'm not going to be racist, but Asian women are all hot.
No, Nathan, you're mistaken.
I'm wrong.
Asian women are all hot till they turn a certain age.
And they save it up. Damn. They don't age, and then they age in a day, 30
years.
They are 15 years old until they hit 60, and then they turn 1,000. But then they're adorable. They shrink to being 4 foot tall and 4 foot wide, little babushkas, and it's adorable.
But then I have a question. Is, like, Asian men are not
like, it depends if you like the feminine, like, in general, Asians tend to be more young-looking and feminine, male or female. And so if you want a big, burly lumberjack guy, you are less likely to find that in an Asian culture because they're not what they're genetically predisposed to. They tend to be thinner. They tend to be hairless and so on. But if you want, like, you know, a pretty elfin kid, that's what you're going to get. If you think Legolas is hot,
there you go.
There's every Asian man.
There's a lot of just the fact that Korean's so cool. I
like Korea a lot.
I like him.
It's like hipster Japan. Like, everybody's all about Japan, but Korea's just flying under the radar.
I mean, they actually have national, like, gaming. I mean, it's a recognized.
I do like that about them.
Very jealous of that.
Yeah.
So I'm going to recommend doing, like, not a rally class. What's the thing that Malcolm... Freestyle class. With your dog, if you have a dog. It's really fun. And then they can do cool tricks that you can make your friends watch.
That's true. Katie loves to show off Malcolm's tricks to people when they come over.
That's true. And then they go, oh, neat. Stop showing me your dog. It's great.
Did you see the thing online about the person who had a dog that had been trained to help, like, they were a handicap helper dog, you know, so if you're like a quadriplegic, they would open your fridge and get you food, they turn the lights on and off, so this dog was trained with all of those things, but it just does them whenever it feels like doing them. There's no control. It has all the knowledge but none of the obedience or control, so it failed as being that. So now the person who adopted it had to, like, puppy proof their house because the light switches have, like, cages on top of them, because if they did it, the dog would open every door, open every drawer, randomly turn the lights on and off. It's amazing.
That's fantastic.
We try to teach Malcolm how to open things, but he doesn't like to grab and then pull.
Yeah, he doesn't like
that. He will take it in his mouth and then drop it.
Yeah,
and that's as far as we can get him to go.
Yeah, because I was gonna teach him to, like, bring me a drink from the fridge, because that'd be awesome, but no, he wasn't up for it.
Well, the mistake was we taught him how to hold a ducky basket. And then, in order to give him his treat to hold the basket, he had to drop it. And so now he just picks it up and drops it.
He picks it up and drops it and then looks for his treat.
I dropped it.
Where's my treat? That's anyway. Malcolm. Come back to me, I guess, because I forgot we had to have recommendations. I'm pulling an Andy.
Speaking of Andy,
Andy has really no recommendations at all. My recommendation is just to take a weekend and just play WoW.
That's fair.
Isn't that your every weekend?
That's what I did all day yesterday. I played WoW. I got my Death Knight all the way up to 110. And I got them all equipped up to be raiding already.
Could have been watching The Genius.
I could have been watching The Genius. I could have been watching Fargo.
Legion.
I could have been watching Legion.
You haven't watched Legion yet, you son of a bitch.
I could have finished watching Taboo.
Like in two weeks, we have like a Legion.
We're just spoiling everything.
I don't have your passcode for Ash.
I can give you that. You can watch Ash vs. Evil Dead, and then it'll show up as having been watched on my queue, so Brian will think I watched it.
You know, idiot. I just when you guys say you're fans of things, I can't think of anyone who would like the Evil Dead stuff or Bruce Campbell, and then have not watched that. I watched
the first season.
You watched an episode.
No, I watched like 3-4 episodes of the first season, then I didn't have access to it anymore.
See, I just would have been like, if I would have watched 3 episodes of an amazing show, I would have spent the $9 and finished it.
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know.
I get distracted.
Yeah.
I do. It gets to the point
where people talk about it too much, where I just don't feel like watching it. No one, I guess that's
not many people have been talking about
that. I just grab a new thing, like I'm like, oh, I'm gonna play Gwent for 6 hours a day now,
yeah.
And I can't. Yeah, that's what I'm doing now. And unfortunately, if that hits me in the middle of something else, the other thing just gets not finished. Like I was loving Bloodborne, but now I'm just gonna be halfway through Bloodborne forever because something else grabbed me.
Yeah. Sometimes shows get too serious, and then you have to just stop.
That only happens to you.
Ash versus the Evil Dead gets too serious.
Also, that only ever happens to Katie. My recommendation, hopefully I didn't recommend this last week. My recommendation is, if you haven't ever seen Parks and Rec, it's hilarious. Go watch it.
From season two on.
From season two on. Actually, so I'd never watched season one. I'd only watched season two on.
You can watch season one if you know that it's the worst
season.
And
I watched season one knowing the show, and I was like, even knowing the show, I could have done without that.
Yes.
Like, there was, I did, don't my life is not better because I watched season one. It's just not. Just start with season two.
Yep. Brian's turn.
I'm going to recommend Cthulhu Wars, the board game. I played it a couple times with all the expansions. Well, not all the expansions, but...
There's a lot of expansions.
There's a lot. I'm going to be playing it every Thursday for a while now. It's just a fun area control. Yeah, well, every other...
Like two.
We're gonna play this coming Thursday and then possibly every other Thursday for a while.
Don't what?
I'm not sure what's happening.
I'm just playing.
Katie's playing. It's just a fun area control, like energy. I forget what the mechanic is called, where you basically spend, like, you know, X amount of energy.
The one that's in Chaos in the Old World and
Chaos in the Old World and Blood Rage have the same mechanic, where you basically spend, you know, you get like so much power per turn, spend a little bit of time summoning or attacking or maneuvering. It's basically an area control game with Cthulhu, and the models are like, I don't know, very large, 6 to 10 inches in size. And it's very fun. It's quick. It's a quick, brutal game.
Yeah, it's surprisingly quick given how big it looks.
Yeah.
And it's normally brutal. Sadly, we played a game with the Shades.
Our game was
like
not
nothing.
Very brutal.
That was the most atypical game of that ever, and I encourage you guys to play it again.
For the first game, I should have used the default factions, and we combined a weird combination of, because there's 8 factions instead of 4 now, and for people's first games, it was a weird combination of stuff, so... But yeah, no, I love the game.
Plus, we had random weird luck.
Yeah.
We had like 10 things attack 8 things and 0 things died.
0 things died.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
Yeah.
It was just...
The number of dice rolled and nothing happened. It was pretty amazing.
How much Brian roll into a place with 24 dice?
Things died.
See? He rolled all the kills that Katie didn't.
I mean, he might have had more defense dice, but he was reduced down to 1 defense die.
I reduced my opponent to 1 die.
It was 24 to 1. He's like, bump!
It went well for me.
Yeah. That'll happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's my recommendation.
Anyway.
Yay.
Thanks for listening.
That's us. Ha ha.
All right. So, yeah, I'm going to... I haven't stopped it yet. I'm going credits. Also, another quick thing. PP is actually talking about releasing a new skirmish-style game that looks somewhat interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway. Yeah.
No.
I think everybody's checked out.
I also want to thank our Patreons.
Do we have some now?
We have some Patreons.
Awesome.
Thank you. That's great.
Thank you to those people.
I didn't see any
a quick handy.
They're going to be in the credits. I haven't actually put up any things yet because I'm still trying to decide if we're going to do like a per episode type thing or monthly. Right now it's set to monthly.
Nifty.
Cool.
Anyway. We'll think of things for them, but they're in the credits.
Yeah.
So watch these credits. These people are better than you.
Yep. Thanks.
And us.
It's
And us, yeah.
It's patreon.com/crippledsystem.
All right. Cool.
Support us.
Singular. Crippled System.
There's no S.
Yes. I know you said it right. I was clarifying. Roll the goddamn credits so they can see the better people.